Hi, I'm Roy Spencer of PermaSeal. For over 45 years, we've helped over 500,000 homeowners make their homes drier, healthier, and more valuable. Our warranties are transferable and estimates are free. Call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
Once again, taking you on the road tonight, we're coming to you from the studios of WKGC-FM high atop the Charles Hilton Center for Advanced Technology and Hospitality Management at Gulf Coast State College in Panama City, Florida.
Hospitality? As we drove into the parking lot tonight, I snapped a picture of the building, which, by the way, you will see on our drive to work pictures on our Facebook page. And I thought, yeah, as I'm typing the name of the building, there's no way you could put it on the building. It would drop down to the entrance of the building.
You can go to facebook.com/Steve and Johnny Show, and you will see the pictures that Johnny put up.
A lot of clouds.
Yeah, lots of clouds.
A lot of gorgeous clouds. No Drake Hotel, no skyline. But, as one of our listeners said, we're not in Kansas anymore. We're in Florida.
Yeah, but it was a really pretty sunset as we were coming in tonight, and you will see some pictures as we cross the Hathaway Bridge. The Hathaway Bridge separates Panama City from Panama City Beach.
In spite of what the folks at the Southwest Airlines like to say, as we're landing, they like to announce that we're landing in Panama City, and all the locals on the plane are going, nah, our taxes are different. It's not.
Trust us, we know our taxes are different.
Right.
So thank you for hanging out with us, and we should say that we are in the hands of Julian and Tom
Krista.
Hoots
and Krista
and Becca and Krista is hanging out with us for a while tonight. Hey, Krista.
So this is, in fact, I got a picture of our crew here in-house. I've named them the plaids because we didn't get the memo that said everybody should be wearing plaid tonight.
I didn't get the memo either.
you and Tom just dress alike, right?
Sure.
We do sometimes. A bit embarrassing, but yeah. Can't help it.
We didn't have time to change.
But I did wear my summer black.
You did. Oh. And people don't believe it, but it really is summer black.
Yeah.
You have five summer shirts that are all black.
Yeah.
I'm not complaining. It makes laundry so simple. Black jeans, black socks, black shirts, black underwear. Don't have to worry about anything fading. So I'm not complaining.
You can wash that all in one load.
I can. Yep. Yes. Well, we have a lot coming up tonight. We're here till 2 a.m.
And coming up in the 10 o'clock hour, we're going to have a return visit from a performer we introduced you to when we were down here last time. And we had so many emails. We were knocked out by her, and apparently you were too. Tracy Mick is going to be joining us and performing in studio. Then in the 11 o'clock hour, a partly personal. We're going to pay tribute to, sadly, the music business lost another this past week, Bobby Sherman. And we had a relationship with Bobby Sherman.
And I was sad, obviously, that the people that we lost the week before, Brian Wilson and Sly Stone and Luke Christie, but when it came to Bobby Sherman, that was really, really devastating to me because that's a part of my childhood.
And Bobby Sherman was on your closet door.
Yes, a ginormous headshot of him. I mean, it was huge. I can close my eyes and I can still see the shirt he was wearing in that picture. And I got to tell him that, which was really cool, interviewing him over the years. And so thanks to Dave Marzullo, who's our web daddy at WGN Radio, he was able to unearth one of the interviews that we did with Bobby.
It was probably the last interview we did with Bobby, which was 25 years ago, believe it or not.
Yeah.
Becca, did you have anybody on your closet door?
You know, I can't say I did.
Well, I'm trying to think of who you might have been enamored with. Jonas Brothers? Kind of? Sort of. Oh, you're blushing a little bit.
No, that was a little before my time.
Really?
Yeah, I would have been in like elementary school.
Okay, well,
probably.
Well, help me. Who were you smitten by?
I didn't really have anybody in particular. I really didn't.
You had no smits?
No, not in the middle school, high school area of things, not really.
Oh, and see, the difference is you didn't have magazines like we had, like
That's
Tiger
fair.
Beat and 16 and Teen Beat. And so these people were on the covers of them, and you could take the centerfold out, which was different than what the guy's centerfolds were.
Right.
Very different.
Julian, who was on your closet door?
I don't believe I had anyone on my closet door. I was more of a movie guy. I had I had Batman on my closet door.
You did? Well,
okay.
That's good.
That works. Yeah.
Batman on my closet door. That sounds like a country song.
That sounds like I was just going to go. I got to write a country song. Batman on the closet door.
Anybody on your closet door, Tom?
Well, you already know who it was on. It was not on a closet door. It was on a wall. And everybody my age and really did have the same poster, and it was Farrah Fawcett.
Oh, that's right. Yep. And as I pointed out to Tom, obviously it was her hair.
It was smitten by that hair. It was the hairdo the whole way.
You know every hair on that head, I bet, looking at that picture over the years.
I'm going to plead the fifth on the rest of
this. And you, Steve, I know we talked about some of yours. They weren't on your closet door, but when you went to see Lassie, didn't you see somebody
I know what you're talking about. The only time I wrote a fan letter, and this was is probably a preteen fan letter. Yes. Now, this is way before your time, Becca.
Before her parents' time.
probably. There was a TV show. It was Rin Tin Tin.
Yes. I'm sorry. And, is it Lassie?
It was a Western. Mm-hmm. And
with a dog.
With a dog who played the part of Rin Tin Tin.
Yes.
And then there was Lee Akers starred in the show.
Okay.
But there was one episode where, and Lee was kind of a preteen.
He was a cute kid, yeah.
And he had a kind of a girlfriend.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And whoever she was, and I don't remember her name, but I thought, oh, hello, hello.
I think I'm in love.
And I even wrote a letter to the, because there had been an article in the Chicago Sun-Times, so I wrote a letter, and it came back, of course. But
who were you writing to, Rin Tin Tin, Lee,
no,
or the girl?
I was writing to the girl, because I found there was an article about her in the Chicago Sun-Times at that time.
And we've forgotten her all these years later.
But then, after that, I jumped to the next crush I had, which mm-hmm. was a movie crush.
Mm-hmm.
And you know who that was.
Mm-hmm.
And she became a nun.
Mm-hmm.
And she starred with Elvis in Loving You and King Creole.
Mm-hmm. And every time I put my hair in a ponytail, you go, oh, that reminds me of someone. And I know who it reminds you of. Have you forgotten her name?
This is awful because...
I know, me too. She was in King Creole, cute girl next door, blonde.
And she was also in Where the Boys Are.
And she became a nun. Isn't she still alive?
She is. And she wrote a wonderful book called God is the Bigger Elvis.
Yeah, which is a great title.
It's
a book.
Really, it's yeah. a terrific book. Why can't I think of her name? That's horrible.
Dolores Hart.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I was getting blocked out by Lisbeth Scott, who also starred in Loving You with Elvis.
No, oh, yeah. I blocked all of that out of your head. I said, forget them.
Well, there's that. Ron, who was on your closet door?
Well, I had the Farrah Fawcett poster, too. So,
you did.
Way to go.
Okay.
Was the bathing suit red or blue?
It was red.
Uh-huh.
And
Tom's nodding.
And the hair was blonde.
Her teeth were white, yes.
Good memory.
Oh, yeah. I can still see it now. but I also had like Elton John. I was a big Elton John fan,
mm-hmm.
And Aerosmith. So those were the bands that were very popular when I was.
I was a big Glen Campbell fan. I also had a ginormous poster of him on my wall.
Glen Campbell, Good Time Hour was a big TV show.
Mm-hmm. It was a good show too.
It was. Yeah.
It was so diverse because people think of him as being country, but he brought in all kinds of people to perform with.
And that was originally a summer replacement show for the Smothers Brothers.
Yeah.
Except the Smothers Brothers just had to push that line now, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
Yeah, they did.
Yes, they did.
But look, they are part of pop culture history forever, you know, for pushing that envelope. Well, we're going to take a break. In fact, we're going to talk a little bit about movies this hour because there's a great list that I've been sharing with Ron in the newsroom.
Thank you.
And so we'll take a break. We'll come right back here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putnam at WGN Radio. That sounds a lot like Dick Dale and Mizzer Lou, but I don't think it's Dick Dale. I think it is a cover version of Dick Dale's Mizzer Lou. Julian, who is that?
No, you're correct.
Oh.
Then that must have been a redone version, because I think just sounded a little different than the original.
Well, you were air guitaring, just slightly different. I mean, slightly different, so you were going with the original.
I was air guitaring the original version. That's correct.
Well, that takes us to movies, and that's a movie theme, of course. And the New York Times did an unbelievable list this past week of the 100 best movies of the 21st century. And I looked at the list and went, oh, Ron needs this list. You were the second person to get the list. You got first 50, and you wrote back to me, and you said, wow, I've seen most of these, right?
Yeah. It's a great list.
So you got to the entire list of 100, and how many of the 100 have you seen?
I'd say 90. There were
90.
10 movies. Most, I think 9 of the 10 were foreign movies. After Sun, I still haven't seen. That's Charlotte Wells. But the others were,
Well, did you agree with the list?
Well, nobody's going to agree with the list all up and down. I would have my own list, but they're great movies. I mean, I have no problem with Parasite being where it is, or Mulholland Drive, or There Will Be Blood. That's a great thing about lists about movies. It gets people talking about movies
and
discussing movies, and But oh, my list would be a whole lot different. Yours would be as well. I mean, it's mm-hmm. It's.
Well,
but that's
fact,
fine.
Going over this top 100 of the all-time best movies of the 21st century, I was pleased to see that Black Panther made the list at 96.
Yep.
I was pleased. I had to question Anchorman being on the list above Black Panther. I was like, really? Anchorman?
Yeah.
Oh, Brother, I was happy to see that on the list at 76. I love The Hurt Locker at 68. Gone Girl made it at 64. I was shocked to see Punch Drunk Love. I love that movie, and it was at 56 on the list. Did you like Punch Drunk Love?
Yeah, Paul Thomas Anderson is brilliant. So you know, just about anything that he does, I'm in line to watch his movies.
Almost Famous, I was tickled to see that one. And in fact, I thought it was older than it is, but that was number 47 in the 21st century movies. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, I thought it would be higher on the list.
I did, too.
It's at 44. Bridesmaids at 32. I kind of question that. Sounds like I have a problem with comedies, but I don't.
I was glad to see The Dark Knight.
Yeah, The Dark Knight, 28. In fact, Julian, did you agree with Dark Knight coming in there at number 28 on the list?
Well, you know, I've got to have some love for Batman, of course.
Of course. I thought maybe it'd be higher than that.
But sadly, a lot of people criticize Christopher Nolan and his mm-hmm. approach to The Dark Knight, but I thought it was very well done.
Arrival is at number 29. I hate that movie. I actively hate it when I'm sorry, but I do.
Well, maybe try watching it again. There's nothing wrong with rewatching a movie that at first blush... struck you the wrong way, especially if people are calling it a classic, saying one of the best.
Yeah.
But we came out of the theater and we were both kind of saying,
just going, really?
Okay.
Yeah, shaking my head.
All right,
going,
I get the special effects and everything.
Yeah, but that's true. I will do that. If I come across it on cable, I will stop and give it another watch because it could have been the mood, it could have been the weather, it could have been any number of things, and just walked out feeling cold. Lost in Translation at number 30. Mm-hmm. I was like, really? Really? Mm-hmm. Okay, I would have put it a little bit lower down on the list, but I understand why it's on the list. Children of Men, I was thrilled to see it in the top 20, at number 13 on the list. So those are just a few. As I went through the list, I went, oh, that's good, that's bad. Oh, I don't like that. Move that one up, move that one down. That's what I love about lists, music lists and movie lists.
Yeah, keep that list right by the TV, you know, and when you want to stream something good, you can't go wrong with any of these. So, I mean, I know I've already, like in the top five, there was a movie that I hadn't seen before called In the Mood for Love, directed by Wong Kar-wai, and I was not familiar with it at all. So I watched it, and it's so stylish. It's all beautiful colors. It's a Japanese, it could be Chinese, I'm sorry, but I think it's a Japanese movie. But it's a wonderfully, you know, it's slow, but it's just such a visual treat. And I thank this list for that. I didn't realize it.
So were there a couple of other movies that the list prompted you to seek out?
Well, there were some movies that I thought should have been on the list. And if I'd have put my list together, I would have included the Coen Brothers version of True Grit on there.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
You know, I agree.
Nightmare Alley was another great movie by Guillermo del Toro. That was fantastic. La La Land, the musical with Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone.
Really?
Wasn't on the list. So there's
Yeah,
you know,
I'm kind of surprised that didn't make the list, come to think of it.
Yeah, well, you know what? They interviewed, 500 of the world's top directors, actors, and critics. And if they voted again, we might have another list, you know, because it's all subjective, and they might just, you know, second thought and put some of those movies on there. Because
back to True Grit for a second.
Yeah.
I think I'm in the minority in this because I really liked both versions of True Grit.
Mm-hmm.
And there are so many people that say, oh, it had to be John Wayne. Oh, no. They were both same script, different approach, really well done. And that really kind of underscores why there are filmmakers and actors. And it was really well done.
But that makes me think of Hayley Stansfield.
Yeah.
And I'm a little bit surprised that Sinners didn't make it on this top 100 movie list.
Yeah, probably too recent. You know, there's that bias against the more recent movies.
Yeah,
so
yeah. It has to stand the test of time.
Test the time, exactly. Yes.
Well, speaking of time, we're going to take a break, and we will be right back here on WGN.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Delicious things to eat.
The popcorn can't be beat. The sparkling drinks are just dandy. The chocolate bars and the candy. So let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Now I have such a hum for a hot dog. Oh, boy.
With a really soft bun.
Oh, yeah.
Where they steam them.
Oh, yeah.
And if you hold it real tight, it gets all smooshy and just a... This is too early to be talking about food. You know that. I'm pointing my index finger at you.
And you have already cooked what will be our dinner when we get home, and I'm thinking, forget that. I want a hot dog.
Okay.
I want a hot dog.
You can have hot dogs. I'm having chicken cobbler when we get home.
Second thought.
Some folks wanted to know, what was the list we were talking about a few minutes ago?
It's the New York Times list of the 100 best movies
from
of
the 21st century. Yes, and it's available. You don't have to be subscribing to the New York Times. It's readily available out there. So just do a in fact, they do a beautiful job of giving background on all of the movies that they write about.
And am I the only one that thinks, are we that far into the 21st century to be able to get 100 movies?
I'm having
What's
a hard
wrong
time.
With that, huh?
This is the last Saturday of June. I'm like, what? How did all this happen? So, on the subject of movies, though, I did want to mention, you know, every time we come in to do the show, I look at the almanac to see, you know, what happened on this day. And it was on this day, 58 years ago, that movie icon Jane Mansfield died.
Yeah.
On this day, she was in New Orleans, Louisiana, in a car accident.
Horrible car crash.
Her kids were in the car with her, including 3-year-old Mariska Hargitay, the actress. And the movie that she did, the documentary she did about her mother,
just premiered tonight on HBO.
I guess it was last night.
Was it last night that it premiered? I know it's this weekend it's premiering. And we've seen her on a couple interviews, and I want to see this. I mean, I appreciated Jane Mansfield not just because of her curves, but she was in one of my favorite movies, the one with Gene Vincent and the this is awful. My brain is on
it's on vacation.
What's going on?
Because this is a part of your life. I can see the movie poster hanging in your office.
No, that's a different Gene Vincent movie poster.
Okay,
that's for Hot Rod Gang.
It has a curvaceous.
The Girl Can't Help It.
Yes. Oh, yes. That's actually a very funny movie with Jane Mansfield.
Yeah.
But we all, if you're like me, the little bit that you saw of Jane Mansfield, she was just a dumb blonde. And wow.
I believe she rose to fame after doing a Broadway version of Will Success Spoil Rock Hunter? And that's how, so she was a Broadway actress who was transported to Hollywood.
Was she brunette at that point?
I don't remember, honestly.
Because when we saw Mariska on one of the talk shows, it might have been on Colbert, she had they had a little clip of her mom, and she was a brunette, and she was playing violin.
On the Ed Sullivan Show.
Unbelievable.
And she was a very talented musician.
Yes. She was doing like this concerto on violin, and I thought, wow, we didn't know that about her. And apparently there was a whole lot about her mom that Mariska Hargitay did not know, because she was only 3 when she died. And so she spent all of COVID while she was on lockdown putting together this documentary. She directed it. She put it all together with the okay from the brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. They were all like, yeah, if it's in your hands, we know it's going to be good.
I haven't read a lot about Jane Mansfield, but some of the things that I've read have indicated to me that she was so much more savvy than anybody thought. And at some point in her career, she realized the smartest move she could make was to market Jane Mansfield as a blonde bombshell.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was basically, she was her best her own best publicist.
Yeah.
And she knew she created this this character, and she played that character and took it all the way to the bank.
As an adult, I think I realized that she was not just a dumb blonde, that she was dumb like a fox, that she knew exactly what she was doing. But I had no idea about this other side of her, the depth that apparently we will see in the movie. Now, we were able to record it at home before we left Chicago. Right. We were not able to see it here, but it is streaming on HBO and on the streaming Max service.
There was an interesting clip that we saw on one of the interviews where she was on one of the Groucho Marx You Bet Your Life shows.
Yes.
And Groucho, it was... Instead of being humorous, Groucho was being kind of serious and saying, I get the feeling, just from what I've known of you, you're a whole lot more savvy. And and Jane is kind of downplaying that. And at one point she says something like, well, what the public wants is a certain image, and that's what I try to give them. It's just, but she was definitely a whole lot more savvy than everybody thought she was.
And there's a... As I understand it, there's a big reveal in the movie, a big piece of information that some are saying is absolutely shocking. And I told you the other day, I stumbled across a picture of Haggerty, and I thought, oh, I think I just found out what the big secret is. Because she was
and I mentioned to you that I had seen that same picture, and we're not going to spoil anybody's
I was sorry experience. To see the picture, because I went, oh, no, that's the big reveal. That's the big secret that she learned in putting the movie together. And it was absolutely life-changing for her, too. Yep. So I just hope it does really well for her. It was very well received at the Cannes Film Festival. And I think it got a limited release in theaters. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's to qualify for Oscars.
Yeah.
I think it's going to have legs, because she was certainly on the circuit last week, on the talk circuit, to tell about the movie and to generate some interest. And I just found it fascinating when I looked at the almanac that this is the anniversary of the date of her mom passing.
HBO has been doing some interesting movie premiere things. The Jane Mansfield one this weekend. And a couple weeks ago, we saw something we'd never heard of.
And we've watched it twice.
I watched it just because it intrigued me. It's called Cleaner.
Not The Cleaner, but Cleaner.
And basically, it is if you know the Bruce Willis Die Hard movie concept, take that, adapt it to a window cleaner who is female, who has a past background in the military, and it's that kind of gives you a sense of what's going on. And on one hand, I thought, okay, it's going to be a diehard with a feet person. But we got into it, and it's a really good, well-acted, well-directed movie. And it's, again, HBO is probably still available.
I mean, it was good enough that we had friends over, and we had mentioned it to them, and we said, do you want to see it? And I was all for watching it a second time, which that's just not the norm for me, but I was so impressed with Daisy Ridley as the main character, the cleaner.
Who apparently is known to a lot of people from some of her appearances in the
Star Wars movies. Yes, yeah. She's a beloved character in Star Wars, to the extent that she even has her face as her character on stamps in Great Britain. And the movie Cleaner...
How cool is that?
Yeah, the movie Cleaner is set in London.
Yeah.
And, of course, it has to be a high-rise. That's where you get the whole Bruce Willis diehard genre.
But the impression I had, and granted they can do movie magic, but I certainly had the impression that Daisy Ridley was doing her own stunts in the movie. Because some of the camera angles look like, okay, how could they have put someone else into this?
But we also had the thought that we often have when we're watching National Geographics, oh, that's amazing when that person is climbing a mountain or hanging from scaffolding outside a building.
But what about the person holding the camera filming them?
Yes, really. Especially when they're mountain climbing. I'm like, yeah, that's good. You're rappelling off the side of the mountain, but that person is holding a camera. Becca, you have to go out and with the camera, right? Now, when you go out and you're covering news and you are shooting whatever the mm-hmm. news story is. What kind of, are you using your phone or what are you using?
Using a 4K film camera, a lot like the one we got.
So big enough that you have to put it on your shoulder.
It's usually I have it like right out in front of me and I'm just.
How much do those things weigh? I'm going to take a picture of that and we'll post it on our Facebook page.
Yeah. The one that I typically use is probably no more than like 5-ish pounds. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's pretty light.
Hmm.
But it looks the tripod's heavy. That's yeah, the tripod's the issue.
And the one behind you is on the tripod. I'm like,
one behind me is a much older model, but it's essentially the same
thing.
The same thing.
So if you're out, for example, I mean, mm-hmm. you're on the beach. You got to walk through sand. You got to drag that through the sand. And
yes, and then you have to make sure you don't get sand in it. So yes. That's an extra challenge. So I try not to take it somewhere with sand. However, everything is sand.
Do you ever find that you can use your phone to do video that would be acceptable for television?
I own an Android, so mm-hmm. no. But if I had a nicer Android, we do have situations where we simply just cannot get our normal 4K cameras in. So in those situations, if you've got a nice enough, if you have an iPhone or a nicer Android, those do work when you're in like a clutch like that.
Mm-hmm. Tom, what's the phone you have? We were at Tom's house last night for dinner with Tom and Carol, and you were talking about your phone and the incredible picture you got.
It's a Galaxy. What
you have the 25?
I have the 25. Yeah, have a 24.
I have the 24 Ultra. You have the 25.
But explain to the kids what you did and how far away you were from the shot.
I don't even think you actually believed until I pulled it up on Google Earth where I was standing when I took the picture, because I had showed you the picture. We were doing a lightning arrestor replacement on WKGC's tower, and I was out there with the tower crew. You know, you have to turn things off so you don't mm-hmm. toast them. Mm-hmm. It's considered rude to toast your tower crew. And we were taking pictures, and I showed you some of the gear. We had the TV truck out there. And then I went over to the Emergency Operations Center. WKGC is an Emergency mm-hmm. Operations Center, Florida FPRIN station. Mm-hmm. And I went across down the road, down the dirt road, down the paved road, across the street to the actual Emergency Operations Center and set up with my phone. In the parking lot, and I shot the guy on top of our tower. It's about a half a mile or so mm-hmm. away.
And you can see him.
Oh, yeah.
I know.
I mean,
it's crazy.
Full, it was absolutely full frame, and it was absolutely weird that with a cell phone, I could take such a good picture.
Mm-hmm.
You had to steady it because it just wobbles all over the place. Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't blurry or anything distance.
No.
It was a great shot.
Quality of the cameras nowadays in cell phones are absolutely amazing.
Well, a lot of people are surprised the pictures that we put up driving to work on Saturday night. Yeah, we're driving 45, 55, 60 miles an hour, mm-hmm. and I'm just driving with my knees and taking those pictures. You know, Steve is sleeping in the passenger seat. I just wanted to see if anyone was listening.
And someone is calling us now.
Yes, we'll take a break. We'll be right back here on WGN.
King and Johnny Putnam at WGN Radio, and that means it's time for a couple shout-outs. And let me start with some shout-outs to some of the people who are checking out our blog, and we would like you to check out our blog. Just go to Steve and Johnny, steveandjohnnie.wordpress.com, and we would love it if you would subscribe. No charge. It's free. And we don't spam you. You just get an email telling you whenever we have put up a new post. And some of the people checking us out today, we heard from the United States, the Netherlands, Japan, Ireland, Sweden, Germany, France, the United Kingdom, Singapore, and Australia. So that's just some of the people checking out our blog today.
And I always wonder, what is it that makes someone in Singapore decide to stop by and read our blog?
They have no clue, but I'm glad they do.
Yeah, me too. Well, I want to say tuned in tonight. And by the way, we are talking about who we were in love with as teens and preteens. Mm-hmm. I got to say, the Monkees and Peter Noon and Bobby Sherman got a lot of love along with Farrah.
Yeah.
So those are just a few of the texts. And by the way, you can text us throughout the night at 312-981-7200. I want to give a shout out to Sherry and Bob in Arlington Heights and Stacy Dreger in Algonquin. And let's see, who else have I got here? Oh, yeah, the Monkees and I'm looking at texts that I'm scrolling through. Dave Kremnitzer tells us that he will be listening while he's in the air. Hey, Dave, he's landing around midnight in Washington from Seattle after a wonderful family cruise this past week. And he sends along a picture from high above the world. Tracy Douglas is listening to us in Savannah. He said, I can't wait to hear Tracy Mick perform tonight. I'm listening on the WGN app.
And Tracy just got here, and yeah. You're going to be hearing Tracy after the 10 o'clock news.
Chuck Snitchler is tuned in. He's, as I like to say, the best friend of this radio show and this radio station. He's in Hobart, tuned in. And Carrie Johnson is in Palm Coast, Florida. Mary Gold and her hubby are tuning in from Tinley Park with their clock radio. Roger Camp is in Somerville, South Carolina. Larry Mann is in Miami, Florida. Helen Thomas is in Kenosha. Ron Anderson's listening from Louisville, Kentucky. Eric Baum is listening from Wells Beach, Maine. And he often sends us a lovely picture of a tourist site in that part of the world.
I like the picture of his convertible on the back. I'm trying to see what kind of a convertible.
Mercedes
convertible.
He said, today's a very rainy day and the tourists are not happy. Yesterday was a beautiful day after we had a temperature of 100 on Tuesday. I was able to take out my 95 convertible to the beach. Yeah, on the East Coast, it was like 100, and then it was in the 60s within 24 hours. Linda Moeller is listening in the Oklahoma Panhandle. Diane Vasquez, who is our graphics guru. Hopefully, Diane, you're feeling better. She's tuned in. Looking forward to tonight's lineup. Tracy's on my playlist. So Diane got to know Tracy the last time she was in studio with us. Judy B. is listening. Roy Phillips is in the Northwest Illinois. Fred Husar is listening in Lyons. Penny Schick is in Tavares, Florida. So now we've hit four different cities in the state of Florida. But no one in PCB. Debbie Tusick is in Sandwich. Lynn Kinzer is in San Antonio, Florida. Make that five cities in Florida. Susan Powell is also in Memphis. Ellen Maria is in Marengo. Lloyd Moncrief has his ears on in Ottawa. Dot Nearbo is in Sandwich. And so is her buddy, Bobby Danos, who is out at the Manor in Sandwich, Illinois. Sally Gunther Green is tuned in from Palatine. Kathy Abnor is in Peoria. Brian Fever in Bridgeport in the city of the beautiful city of Chicago. Peter Jacobowitz is in Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin. Michelle Fairfield in Peoria. Nancy Witt in Milwaukee. Janet Gellert, she said, I too am sad about the passing of Bobby Sherman. I saved all of his photos from my Tiger Beat magazine, and I sure hope, Janet, you'll be listening in the 11 o'clock hour tonight when we replay the last interview that we did with Bobby Sherman. Matt Palmer is in Racine, Wisconsin. Judy B. is in Oak Lawn. I mentioned her, but didn't tell you where she's tuned in. John Couture is busy. He's in Second City tonight, but he'll be listening on the podcast. He's a regular listener from Michigan every Saturday. Jim Smith's on the northwest side of Chicago. Margot Moore is in Albuquerque. Beverly Ann Goodall's in Highwood, Illinois. Bonnie Pearson's in Grays Lake. Sharon Malone in K-Town. Rob Mecklen is tuned in. Nancy Tomaszewski is in West Allis. Scott Cooper is in Naperville. Robin Aiken is in Port Charlotte. That makes seven cities in Florida.
But no and Panama City Beach
no
yet.
No Panama City Beach yet. And looks like Bill is in Munster, and I'm quickly looking here. Ronald Bruce is in Tinley Park. And thank you. If I didn't get you, I would promise you I'll get you next week when we're back in our, well, not next week.
Not
the
next
week,
after. In fact, we should mention that we head back to Chicago on Monday. But next week, since it will be NASCAR weekend, it is our annual NASCAR vacation night.
That's right.
Because when they're racing all around downtown Chicago, we ain't getting in the middle of all that traffic.
Well, actually, we were told not to get in the middle of it because we probably wouldn't make it into the radio station. Yeah. We said, oh, darn, the day after the 4th when we have a really big shindig at our house.
And I kind of wanted to put the pedal to the metal.
Did you?
But no.
No, they wouldn't let you. No.
So next week will be a best of replay, assuming they can find such a thing.
They're working on that now.
Starting at 9 o'clock. But then we will be back live the following week.
Right.
And who did we just... watch this space and we'll let you know who is going to be joining us.
You know what? It's good there's two of us, because I think between us we might finish a sentence or two tonight.
Yep.
I think my brain's on vacation. I'm going to blame it on the high stupidity. I mean, humidity. There's also high stupidity along with the humidity. So.
Yeah, there's all of that.
Yeah.
Well, we've got Tracy Mick is in the house, and she's going to be performing live in just a couple minutes. So stick around. We've got a whole lot more to come, and you can always get to us at 312-981-7200.
And it's Tech Night, too, so Patrick will join us, and we've already had a couple of questions come in for him, so you can use that number to send in your questions for Patrick.
Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Love that.
I know. I hate to interrupt.
I know.
But she's in studio with us. We're talking about Tracy Mick. Hey, Tracy.
Hey, Tracy.
Hey, guys.
Good to see you again.
Good to see you guys.
So this is two times this year we got to visit with Tracy Mick. Yeah. We came back to town just for 1 week, and we said, in fact, I think we booked you when we were here back in the spring.
Yep.
Yes, yes. You have been so busy, girl.
Yes, ma'am. It's been a busy summer so far.
Yeah. Sometimes I think you're doing like 2 gigs a day. You're hopping all over the place.
Oh, that's a hard one. I've done it in the past. I don't like to do it very often.
It ages you?
Yes.
Right?
And for people new to the conversation, we should explain that we were first introduced to Tracy by Tom Hoots. Mm-hmm. He said, you have to listen to Tracy Mick.
Yes.
We did. And we were blown away. Tracy has been performing in and around the Panhandle for how many years, Tracy?
This will be 2 years now.
Right. Mm-hmm. It was summer of 23. Right?
Yes, May 2023 was first gig.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think I just learned today that you're not born and raised here in Florida.
No, I'm from Baltimore originally.
And your dad, a trucker, is that how you ended up in Panama City?
No, actually, the famous old-time story of divorce. Dad wanted to move over here, and so we came and lived with him, and that's basically how I got here.
So did you go to high school here? And
I did.
Good stuff?
I actually went to a few different high schools. I was one of those that went to a bunch of different schools. Mm-hmm. At one point, I did go to some boarding school in Mississippi. For 1 year of high school, but I did 3 years of high school here in town.
I'm sorry, it sounds like, I did 3 years in the slammer.
Yeah. Literally. That's how I feel about school.
I hear you. Were you playing a guitar when you were in high school?
I was. I started playing guitar at 14.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did somebody give you the guitar, and then, or did you have this desire? You saw someone, then you said, I think I want to do that.
Honestly, it was my dad who had offered guitar lessons. We had this guy at our school. He would give one lesson, you know, every other week. We'd meet once a week. We'd get the basics, and it's up to you, you know. Mm-hmm. So my dad knew I liked music, so he offered me that. He had had an old guitar of his own. He didn't know how to play it, but he was like, if you learn how to play Pantera, you can have this Harmony guitar.
Yeah.
I never learned how to play Pantera. I never got that guitar, but I learned how to play guitar at least. So
he inspired you
yes,
to go for
it. Yes, I was inspired.
Oh, wow.
What was the point where you decided, not only do I like playing this, I think I want to do this for a living?
I actually was just watching people do live music down at the, there's a place here called The Dive. It used to be called mm-hmm. The Salty Hobo, and I would hang out there a lot, and they did open mics every Wednesday night, and I would watch that quite frequently and mm-hmm. always have the thought in my mind, but never really had the guts to do it. But eventually I got up the nerve and tried it out and just kind of went from there.
It bit you, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I got to get more of this.
No, I did enjoy it. I enjoyed that other people enjoyed it too. So,
oh,
yeah.
Good.
Should we shut up and let you do a little bit of whatever you want to do?
Okay. I think I'll start off with an original. It's called Stale Bagels. let's get on with it, I guess. And a cigarette seems every day that I forget where I put my keys. Painted windows on a movie screen have to leave the lights on when I dream, it seems. Somehow I forgot how to steer. Sometimes I can't remember where I parked. Somewhere after dark, I'm in the clear. Am I keys. Thank you.
Wow.
Thank you.
That's wonderful.
Thank you.
I have to ask, the inspiration, what?
I actually did hit a car in a parking lot, and it was a wake-up call, you know, because I really didn't think I would do that, but I did. It was a parked car, and I ran smack dab into it. So it was just a wake-up call, and I had to get those feelings out somehow.
Yeah. You just forgot how to steer.
I think I did.
That's a good second.
When you started writing it, did that song come quick?
It did. It did.
Oh, man. Yeah. I think everybody can relate to at least a line in that going, yeah. Wow. Really nice.
Thank
stale
you so
bagels.
Much.
Stale bagels.
Yes.
Yeah.
Boy.
I don't know what I was expecting. I thought, is this going to be a jaunty little tune? And then you shocked me. I was like, whoa. Okay. Yeah. Tracy Mick is our guest live in studio with us here on WGN. Stay with us. We'll be right back with her.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Tracy Mick in studio with us, and we're getting a lot of people texting to 312-981-7200, loving your voice. And I told you this last time you were in studio with us. One of the things I love about the way you sing is you don't do vocal gymnastics.
You
just
sing.
Sing. And the emotion comes through. And it is so refreshing and wonderful. And
did you ever have any training?
No, ma'am.
Good for you. Go.
Thank
go
you.
With that. Because I think sometimes, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm not a singer, but I feel like some of the people that we know are even frustrated that they opted to go into training because it changed them.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
The what made them special, that little quirky thing that mm-hmm. they had going on. You know, so
yes.
Don't let them change you, okay?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You write a lot of music. Do you set out to write music, or does it just overwhelms you and you have to stop what you're doing?
You hit
and
a
write?
Car and you have to get a pencil.
That's pretty much what happens. You know, sometimes you can't get things out any other way.
Yeah.
Than to do it with music.
Well, it's cheaper than paying the doctor.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Are you your own worst critic? And I'm asking this because of a conversation we had off the air. There's a wonderful song called Traces that Tracy does. We were going to use it as a bump. We can't find it because Tracy said she took it down because she wants to work. It's wonderful the way it is. But you remind me of a conversation we had with Les Paul. Do you know who Les Paul is?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Les Paul was a dear friend. He told us there was, it was the classic good news, bad news after he invented the multiple tape recording. Because then, before multiple tape recording, he had to do something and it had to be right. After multiple tape recording, he could take it down, he could tweak it, and he could keep mm-hmm. tweaking it, and he could tweak it some more. And then after he tweaked the tweak, he could tweak the tweak. And he said, it got to the point where I was my own worst enemy because I kept going back and saying, no, this has to be better, rather than going with the feeling of the moment.
She's smiling.
So are you your own worst enemy?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Let's take the last song. So you actually had an experience in a parking lot. You hit a car and you went, what? What just happened? You had to get out those feelings. So you wrote the song. I mean, you're performing it on the radio. I mean, where do you go from getting feelings out to going, yeah, I think other people can relate to this? And I mean, is that a hurdle for you to overcome, to share your music, or...
It is a little bit. I've been told in the past my music seems very emotional. I mean,
that's
I don't
good.
Know if they meant it as a good thing or a bad thing, but it was a hurdle to kind of overcome that and realize, you know, everybody's emotional and everybody goes
yeah.
through these things.
Yes.
And just because
Taylor Swift comes to mind.
Yes, exactly. So, you know, not everything is sunshine and roses all
no.
the time, you know.
You could be dating seven men, and every one yeah. of them break up and then make
and
up.
And there's another song.
And become a billionaire, you know, just like that,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
We're working
it's
on
true.
That, Tracy,
yeah.
really.
Yeah.
So did you, for example, have you written this week? Have you sat down and said, I'm going to write this week?
I have not, but I've really needed to.
You've got the hankering to do that. I have the hankering. Wow. Wow. Yeah. I've said it before, and I'm sure you've heard it from many, many people. You are an old soul because we're familiar with the cover music that you do. And I understand it's really popular when you do gigs around town. Because you do songs that people are surprised. They're like, oh, wait, she's so young. How does she know that?
What was the thing you were doing just for a mic tech check before we went
That on? Was What Does It Take by mm-hmm. Junior Walker and the All-Stars.
Yeah.
And you did a wonderful version
of
that.
Oh, thank you.
Well, in fact, could we hear a little bit of it?
Of course, absolutely. Excuse me.
Got to know, oh pretty baby, 'cause I love you so. I tried in every way I could to make you see how much I love you. I thought you understood. Oh, I gotta make you see, what does it take to win your love for me?
Good you are. You really, really don't.
That was really wonderful.
Thank you.
How did you come across the Junior Walker song from 1969?
My mom loved that song.
Oh, did
Absolutely.
She?
Absolutely. Yes.
Oh, sweet. Yeah. Did you ever get to perform it for her?
No, I actually wasn't doing any live music when she was living, and I didn't start until after she had passed away. It was probably something that pushed me in that direction.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems like every time, though, that you're singing that she's there.
Absolutely.
Because she really, really had a big influence on you. And because I remember last time when you were in, we're talking about the music that she loves so much, and oh, sure enough, the best songs ever from the 60s and 70s.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, thank you for doing that one. Junior Walker and the All-Stars.
I'm not blowing smoke, but one of the things, one of the many things that I love about what you do, your original songs are wonderful, they're emotional, and when you do someone else's song, you don't do a Las Vegas version of their song, you make it your own.
Yeah, you make it a Tracy
Mick. That is a rare gift.
Mm. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, we locked the door. Girl's not going anywhere. She's staying here for a little while.
You can't get away.
And we were commiserating on the fact that we both have to have Kleenex in our hand because we got this sinus thing going on. But it's working for you. I mean,
thank you.
It's good. So we'll go blow our noses and take a little cough drop.
And we're taking a break that way. We're going to take a break to blow our nose.
Yeah, well, literally. Actually, we're going to take a break. We'll come back on the other side with more with Tracy Mick here on WGN.
Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. That's another side of Tracy Mick. That's called Phone Full. And that's got that's sort of the funky side of Tracy Mick.
Yeah.
What's the story behind that? Who's performing with you?
That's actually, I sampled most of the instruments in that one. So I just kind of hodgepodged it all together.
Nice.
Online, basically. But it came from a poem, Phone Full of People, But Nobody to Talk To. You know, some people can relate.
Yeah. Wow. Do you play bass as well as
acoustic? I wish. One day.
Yeah.
By the way, I have to share with you, we're getting so many people texting, and, naturally, because I want to go to this.
I know. It happens to me, too.
So let me, give me 1 second, and I can go back to it. And after the last song you did, this one text comes in to 312-981-7200, and this person from the 331 area code just says, "So sweet."
Oh, thank you.
Very cool is another one. And then, I love acoustic guitar. So do we.
Mm-hmm.
The blatant plug light has gone on.
Mm-hmm.
So for people
who travel with that, by the way. It's not just in Chicago. We take our blatant plug light with us wherever we go.
If people in the Panhandle area want to see you, where are you going to be appearing over the next couple weeks?
So this Monday is Monday Night Little Fest at Mosey's downtown in Panama City. And there will be a showcase I'll be hosting that evening. We're going to have Dana Grubbs. We've got myself, Matt May, and Miss Dionzia Santiago headlining. All really great acts. I'm really excited about that. Other than that, I will be at Captain Max, which is on the Captain Anderson's Marina, every Wednesday in July.
Oh, nice.
So that's exciting.
It's nice to have a place to hang your hat regularly for a while.
Yeah, I really dig them. They're really awesome.
Yeah.
And Captain Anderson's Marina is just wonderful.
It's beautiful.
It is.
Yeah. You just performed at a place of the history...
History class, yes. It was
what an interesting name for a place, the history class.
It's very cool vibes. They really like a lot of vintage stuff, so it's like a trip to the past, essentially. They got like old TVs in there, playing like JFK and stuff like that on there. Yeah, it's really neat.
So that's the reason for the name, is they're, they're nostalgic.
Yeah, very nostalgic. Mm-hmm.
They have old TVs?
They do. It's really... really neat,
and it's in downtown Panama City.
It is.
Oh, we got to check that out.
Yeah,
we'll probably go. Oh, I lived through all of that.
Yeah,
I don't feel old at all now.
Okay, now this will really date me. First TV I had was a 9-inch television set.
But
so the screen was not quite as big as what's on your phone right now.
Yeah.
And that's how I first saw Elvis when he first was on the Tommy and Jimmy Dorsey stage show.
And if that was the normal size TV, I don't know how anyone could be upset about his hips, because it would be so teeny tiny.
But we thought we were high tech, because at one point they came out with, it was like this screen that you attached to the front of the TV that magnified the TV screen. I mean, that was high tech.
That's wrong. But seriously, it was a 9-inch screen, but wasn't it in like a big piece of furniture?
No, that was a different one. That was the second TV we had.
Okay.
Yeah. And question. When you say magnetized, how big did it make it from 9 inches to what?
Probably 12.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then you could actually see Elvis's hips, you know, before it was like a speck on
yours.
Right. Well,
but those are some of the places you're going to be performing. If people want to see you online, go to your Instagram.
Yes, sir. It's a strange name. It's called This Here's the Rubber Duck. You
can find
me on Insta.
Your dad was a trucker.
Yep, good old C.W. McCall Convoy.
So, this here's the rubber duck.
This here's the rubber duck. Yes, ma'am.
Can I put out a request?
Absolutely.
A song you did last time, and I hope you would do it again.
Absolutely.
Tink?
Of course. Yes.
Picture of my heart within the cracks of my fractured mind. You were mine from the start. Without your love, there is no time. Without your love, there is no time. The hours turned into weeks, which turned to years, and I can't see the sun shine through my tears. No, I can't see the sun shine through my tears. So lift me up this day, I pray. Give me strength to see another day. You are my love, you're my best friend, and I can't wait to see you again. I can't wait to see you again. I found your card the other day, held it gently in my hand, wrote it in your own special way. You make me want to be a better man. You make me want to be a better man. So lift me up this day, I pray. Give me strength to see another day. You are my love, you're my best friend, and I can't wait to see you again. I can't wait to see you again. No, I can't wait to see you again. I can't wait to see you again. Picture of my heart within the cracks of my fractured mind. You were mine from the start, and up this stormy mountain I will climb. Up this stormy mountain I will climb.
I have to quote one of our listeners who just texted in, wow, so beautiful.
Thank you. Can you take a moment and tell a little bit about Tink? The story is really, really very special.
Absolutely. Tink was actually written for a friend who lost his daughter, and his daughter's name was Tink. And he had asked me, he basically commissioned me to try to write a song expressing his feelings about the subject. He had sent me some writings about his loss. And I read these writings, and of course I compared it to my own loss. I lost my mother in 22. And it was a kind of a combination of both of our losses mm-hmm. combined into one. And that's how Tink came about.
Right. Mm-hmm. Grief is grief.
Yeah.
Yeah. And everybody's is different, but there's a lot of similarities.
Yeah.
Tink was a little girl?
Tink was, she was around my age. He's a social media friend. I had never met him in person.
Wow.
But he found me on social media, and he reached out to me, and he said, you remind me a lot of my daughter. She really loved to sing.
Oh.
And she also had short blonde hair like me, so... Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. And then you took on the challenge. That had to be tough, too.
It was a little tough, but, you know, I'm glad I did it, too.
Yeah.
So it's are we.
Really yeah. special. Thank you.
A few more of the texts that are coming in at 312-981-7200.
See the one I just answered? What is the young lady's name, and what is her Instagram? So I just answered that one.
The young lady's name is Tracy Mick.
Right.
And her Instagram is this here is the rubber duck.
Right.
Yes.
I want to say ducky. I always want to say, this year's a rubber ducky.
Another one says, enjoying Tracy's music so much. Easy to listen to. Very talented.
Mm-hmm. We agree.
Thank
Across
you.
The board.
I yes. want more. And we never do this, but we're going to be, this is our last night here for a while. We're going to be back in the Panhandle this October, and we have already booked Tracy for another a return
yes.
Visit when we come back.
It's nothing like October in this area.
It's
October,
wonderful.
November, it's in the 70s, and there's no black flies eating your ankles.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Because we enjoy porching. We call it porching.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You drop the G on that. That means you sit on the front porch, you watch the world go by. Steve plays the guitar. The birds chirp while he's playing. When he stops, they stop.
That freaked me out. Johnny and I sitting on the porch, and it's quiet. I start playing guitar, and the birds start chirping. I stop playing guitar.
I mean, a lot of birds.
I start playing again. The birds start again. It
so
was so
I was able to
wonderfully
video it
freaky.
Because I was like, whoa, they're listening.
That's He's like a regular Snow White.
Yeah, really. I'm looking for my bluebird. Well, we said in this last few minutes with you, we want you to do whatever you want to do.
Okie dokie. I think I'm going to do a little Billy Joel, some Vienna. This is one of my favorite songs.
I love that song.
Yeah. So let's give it a shot.
Slow down, you crazy child. You're so ambitious for a juvenile. But if you're so smart, tell me why you're still so afraid. Hey, where's the fire? What's the hurry about? You better cool it off before you burn it out. You got so much to do and only so many hours in a day. Hey, but you know that when the truth is told, that you can get what you want or you can just get old. You're gonna kick off before you even get halfway through. Ooh, and will you realize Vienna waits for you? Slow down, you're doing fine. You can't be everything you wanna be before your time. Although it's so romantic on the borderline tonight, tonight. Too bad, but it's the life you lead. You're so ahead of yourself that you forgot what you need. Though you can see when you're wrong, you can't always see when you're right. You're right. You got your passion, you got your pride. But don't you know that only fools are satisfied? Dream on, but don't imagine they'll all come true. Ooh, and will you realize Vienna waits for you? Child, take the phone off the hook and disappear for a while. It's all right, you can afford to lose a day or two. Ooh, and will you realize Vienna waits for you? And you know that when the truth is told, that you can get what you want or you can just get old. You're gonna kick off before you even get halfway through. Ooh, and will you realize Vienna waits for you? When will you realize Vienna waits for you?
One of the many reasons I adore you is when people do a Billy Joel, they do Just Where You Are. But you do the B-side.
Yeah.
Vienna was the B-side of that.
Love that song. Yes.
Oh, my gosh. I love that. 1977.
The Stranger.
And I actually saw him when he debuted that. It had not been put on his album yet. I sat on a gymnasium floor in Murray, Kentucky, while he performed, and everybody's going, who's this dude from New York?
He just had Piano Man out then, right?
It had not come out yet. He was just kind of bubbling under, and then within a month, The Stranger came out, and everybody went, oh, wow. We saw him for like $15 a ticket, you know.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
That's a beautiful version you
did.
Thank you, ma'am. Oh, gosh. I love the lyrics are so cool, too.
They're so good.
Who's your favorite writer?
My favorite writer?
Yeah.
Oh, like songwriter?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'd have to say, when it comes to singer-songwriters?
Yeah.
Whatever.
It's kind of...
I think you love the Beatles.
I do like the Beatles. I'm kind of struggling to know, like, who wrote their own songs and who was doing something that somebody else
wrote. Billy Joel and Elton John.
Yeah, Billy Joel, obviously, absolutely. Yeah.
Because I remember
that's really tough.
Okay, who's on your iPod right now?
Right now,
yeah.
Let's see, the very last thing. What is it this time?
She's looking at it too.
It just happens to be Your Song by Elton John was the last thing played.
Yep.
So
okay.
Yep.
You know the song. right?
I don't know how to play it, but I know it.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, work on that for November.
Okay, okay.
Because I said to Steve the other day, that may be my favorite Elton John song.
Okay, yeah. Well, yeah, definitely work on that.
Right up there with Friends, Friends Again. Oh, gosh. If you ever get to see the movie, it's really good. But I digress. I think it's going to be a great summer for you because since we saw you back in the spring, things have just really picked up for you. I love the Chick Fest you did.
Thank you.
And how exciting. We've got all these women singer-songwriters in this area.
I saw you had Nikki recently. Yes. That's awesome. Very cool.
And
people are asking... do you have anything they can buy? Any CDs or anything? Or
look at these texts, and you'll go in the studio and you'll do
CDs
that. CDs
will be coming soon. Yes. I promise you, it is in the works. That is my goal for the year: is to get something out there for you guys. So.
Well, I said, give her time. I said, over the summer, that's what she's going to be working on, and we'll tell
you all
about it.
Feel no pressure.
A listener, a couple of people said, well, if she had anything, I'd buy it.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Really? So.
Can we tell a tale out of school? Well, having asked the question, I'm going to say yes.
Yes.
Becca has been working with Tracy a little
bit.
That's
right.
So you two are conspiring to create some magical stuff?
Yeah.
And Becca's also a singer, you know.
I did not know that.
Yes.
Oh.
She sings along to you because she's... Okay. Listen to your music well, and if I'm looking at it, I'm going, girl, singing with her. We got to get you guys.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Good music, what can I say?
Thank you.
Yes.
Aw, shucks.
Well,
now we're both blushing.
I know. And I'm blushing for you, too. I'm like, oh, my. On live radio. Well, again, thank you for being
in
here
you.
With us tonight.
Thank you so much.
If anybody wants to email you, should they just contact you through Instagram
or
is there an email or Facebook? Or
I would suggest Facebook might be a better method. You can find me at Tracy McMusic, just because I'm better at seeing those messages sometimes than the Instagram.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And we'll put a link to Tracy's Facebook page on the Steve and Johnny page.
Right, right. And she's very active on Instagram. But I found it funny because I looked at your Instagram the other day and I said, it's like the many faces of Tracy Mick. You're too young to go through that many hairstyles. And I'm like, you could go into the witness protection program.
That's true.
As a brunette, you could. Yeah. Tracy, thank you so much. Have a great summer. We'll see you in the fall on the radio. Gosh, coming up.
Yeah, coming up, a partly personal.
Yes.
In fact, just really quick before we get to news. Tracy, if we said the name Bobby Sherman, would that mean anything to you?
I know the name. Mm-hmm. What's his most famous song?
Julie, 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 Do You Love Me?
I've most likely heard it.
And Hey, Pretty Woman.
Hey, Pretty Woman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I adored him. He passed away this past week, and we're going to rebroadcast our last interview with him.
Oh, good.
Yeah, really sweet.
Being alone at night makes me sad, girl. Yet brings me down, all right. Tossing and turning and freezing and burning and crying all through the night. Whoa, Julie, 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 do you love me? Julie, 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 do you care? Julie,
King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Sad news this past week with the passing of Bobby Sherman.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a generation or two that probably doesn't know just how big Bobby Sherman was. But in the late 60s, 70s, there were months when Bobby Sherman outsold Elvis and the Beatles.
Really? And there are a whole bunch of us women that are in our late 60s that were devastated by the news that he passed because he was our guy. And it was helped by the fact that there was a very successful television show that he was the star of.
Yep.
And that was Here Come the Brides on Friday night. Boy, I knew all of those characters. In fact, we got a text from a listener who said, in 1998, my husband took me to see Bobby Sherman in the Teen Idols tour at the Rosemont Theater. I never got to see him as a teen, so he thought I should not miss out. Good husband move, right?
Mm-hmm.
She said, I still have my albums and I have a DVD collection of the Here Come the Brides shows. I like David Cassidy and Bobby was my first celebrity crush. I did not know that that show was available on DVD.
We're going to have to get that.
Hint, hint. Yes.
Okay.
We got to get that.
All right.
So thank you very much to an 815 area code for texting that.
As a matter of fact, the Teen Idol Tour is the tour that Bobby was on when we talked to him the last time. That's the interview that you're going to hear in just
right.
a couple minutes. And we had our relationship with Bobby Sherman went back to a birthday that Johnny had when I surprised her with a phone call interview from Bobby Sherman, and Bobby came on the phone, and actually he did this every subsequent interview.
Yes.
Instead of singing, Julie, 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 do you love me? He sang, Johnny, 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 do you love me?
And I melted every time.
And it's the only interview in all the years that we have been doing radio. The only time after we finished an interview, Johnny started crying.
And it was a good cry.
Yeah.
I was so happy. It was one of those, I was so emotional because he was as wonderful as I imagined when I was 13 years old. He was just as, he was as cool as I had imagined he would be.
Too many times you have the chance to meet your idols
yeah.
and they have feet of clay and they
yeah.
are less wonderful than you hoped they
yeah.
would be. Bobby Sherman was absolutely as cool as he could be.
Yeah.
My first exposure to Bobby was a long time before Here Come the Brides. It was on a TV show that I loved. It was called Shindig. And a little backstory. Shindig was produced by a guy named Jack Good. Jack Good was a British producer. He was responsible for a show called Ready, Steady, Go and some other British music shows. He was also responsible for bringing Gene Vincent over to Great Britain
mm-hmm.
and making Gene Vincent an icon in Great Britain. But he came to ABC with this idea of doing a show similar to the shows that he had done in Great Britain with the Beatles and the Stones and stuff. So Shindig started on ABC, and it was a combination of artists doing some of the current hits and some of the hit-making artists appearing on the show. The Beatles appeared on the show, the Stones. They had an in-house band, and the in-house band consisted of people like the Righteous Brothers, James Burton, who played guitar with Elvis and Rick Nelson,
Billy Preston,
and I'm blanking out on some of the others, but Darlene Love,
mm-hmm.
the Blossoms, who recorded as the Crystals. And Bobby Sherman was one of the members of the in-house band. That was my first exposure to Bobby Sherman. Then from that, he went on to Here Come the Brides.
Yeah, well, thanks to magazines like 16 and Tiger Beat and any number of those magazines that I would actually take my babysitting money and invest in so that I could, like you have done for many, many years with comic books, I would
mm-hmm.
just carefully carry it home so I wouldn't wrinkle the picture
mm-hmm.
that was on the centerfold so I could take it out and put it on my wall. I was a little surprised, though, because I fell down the rabbit hole when I was kind of mourning the passing of Bobby Sherman. And I don't know how I missed this unless I just went about having my life as a college student. But I found out that he released his final album in 1972, which I knew because mm-hmm. I was still a huge fan at that point,
mm-hmm.
and also saw one of his last big television roles end in 1972. It was a Partridge Family spinoff called Getting Together, which lasted for 14 episodes. I never, ever heard that.
I vaguely remember the name, and I don't think I ever saw it.
And the very last, the short-lived Sanchez of Bel Air, was in 1986. And he was in that show, 1986, and it was one of USA Network's first scripted television shows. I did not know that either.
No. Bobby, in his post-showbiz life, went on to be a paramedic, and we'll talk about that. What you, mm-hmm. what you're going to hear in a couple minutes is the last interview we did with Bobby. It was 25 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we were so fortunate to have Bobby on the show several times, and we developed a friendship. And
he was always available when we wanted him back on the show. We're like, oh, cool. Yeah. So if I don't have a shift, you know, as an EMT, they'll be there for you. And
well, one of the stories you're going to hear is the reaction of one of the people when Bobby, as a paramedic, helped her to deliver a baby.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the stories you're going to hear. And well, you're going to hear a lot that will tell you that Bobby Sherman was so much more than a teen idol. We're going to let you hear a bit of a career-spanning interview that we did with Bobby Sherman.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio in Chicago. Okay, now we're going to have to hose down Johnny's side of the studio for a couple minutes because we're about to talk with one of her favorite people.
Yes.
And for those of you who are saying, Bobby Sherman, I know that. Where do I know that name from?
Always had the best of everything, anything money could buy. I go first class and I live like a king till I die. I surround myself with treasure and devote each day to pleasure until late at night this king begins to cry. And I have cried like a baby in the darkness of my room. Nobody there to hold my trembling hand. And I cried like a baby in the darkness of my room. With nobody there to love or understand. I'm taking a shave of the sun. Whatever may think that I was number one. I ought to know. Easy come, easy go. Sad girl, yet brings me down. All right, tossing and turning and freezing and burning and crying all through the night.
Whoa, Julie, 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 do you love me? Julie, Julie, Julie.
C.
see, Johnny likes it a whole lot better, Bobby, when you insert her name into that song.
Well, Steve, I was about to say to you, let's just change it. Johnny, 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 do you love me?
I'm so easy. Hi, Bobby, how are you doing?
Just fine, kids. Oh, how you doing, my favorite great. Friends?
Oh, we're doing good. We're so thrilled that you're coming back to Chicago this Sunday.
I'm looking forward to it. I hope you guys are going to be able to show up and so I can squeeze both of you, because it's been a long time.
You know, and Sunday, we should tell everybody it's your birthday, isn't it?
Well, actually, it's Saturday's the birthday, and, you know, I'm trying to forget those things.
Oh, come on.
Well, you're going to be 22 this year? You're going to be about 22 this year, I think?
Thank you very much, Steve.
And Sunday at Navy Pier, which is a fabulous place to perform, you're going to be
with
them.
Oh, yeah, it's the best, without a doubt. And everybody there should, just enjoy the fact that bring the family. It's a good family mm-hmm. show. It should be a lot of fun.
Yeah,
and
let the kids see their mom just to act foolish. You know, yeah, that'll be great.
Why not?
That's right. Mickey Dolenz with you on the Teen Idol
Mickey
Tour.
Mickey Dolenz and Peter Noon from Herman's Hermits.
Yeah,
is going to be there at the Teen Idol Tour, which they're calling the Teen Idol Tour, which makes me feel like I should. Probably walking on stage, you know, kind of like hobbling or something.
No. As I understand it, you walk on stage occasionally wearing black leather pants.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah, we've seen the pictures on your website, which is very cool.
Well, maybe you can settle an argument. I was talking with a friend about the fact that Mickey Dolenz is with you on this tour as opposed to Davy Jones, and we got into the whole business of, well, if you loved Bobby Sherman, you had to love the Monkees. Is it true that you were actually on the Monkees TV show at one time?
Yes, as a matter of fact, just before, I went on a little bit of a tour just after that, but before I did Here Come the Brides, I did an episode of The Monkees where I played the character Frankie Catalina, which was a spinoff of the Beach movies of Frankie Avalon, you know, I guess where we can get that mm-hmm. coming from, and it was a real spoof, and it was... It was fun. It was a fun thing. But that's how I met all the guys from the Monkees, and actually, one of the producers was Ward Sylvester, who was it turned out to be my manager for 30 some odd years, who was the producer of that show that till this day mm-hmm. we still do business.
That is really neat. Here Come the Brides was not your first TV stint, though. Your first long term. Prior to that, of course, it was with Shindig, right?
Yeah, can anybody remember that, Johnny?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
I was glued to Shindig every week, and one of the things I loved about that show, and correct me if I'm wrong, I don't know if I ever asked you about this, I don't think you lip-synced anything on that. Wasn't that all done live?
That was all live. Well, I'll be honest with you, Steve, what had happened is there was a circumstance where some of the long shots, we did have to pre-record some stuff because they didn't have wireless microphones at that particular point, so... some of the stuff they did have to pre-record, but most of it was all live stuff. It wasn't, it wasn't a Milli Vanilli kind of circumstance. And it was a forerunner of MTV as far as videos, music videos, and all that kind of stuff. It was the best. And Jack Good, was the forerunner of that whole program that to this day is, I think, they still send them out on videos. To this day, so it's still working.
Yeah, Rhino has a collection of most of the episodes of Shindig, and Jack Good, for anybody who doesn't know, legendary producer who certainly, along with Shindig, over in Great Britain, was responsible for most of Great Britain's best early rock and roll TV shows, including many that the Beatles were featured on.
The Beatles, of course, and I think it was a show, it was called Oh Boy, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah, okay, I think that's correct, yeah, and at this particular point, it was... Jack Good is still a legend. I don't know where he is. I think, from what I understood, he's passed away. I don't know, but I'd love to find out where if he's still existing. I'd love to be able to say thank you very much for the opportunity, because he was definitely the a launching pad for my career.
And am I correct? The background, the backup band, the Shindugs, that were people like James Burton and Billy Preston that came out of that group?
James Burton, Delaney. Bramlett?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Who else was... there was Joey... He didn't go on beyond that, but Preston was part of the Shindig band.
Mm-hmm.
That was... The Shindogs were like I think it was a four-member group. They, they were kind of there for a while, and Chuck Blackwell, I think, was the drummer, as a matter of fact. Mm-hmm. But I can't think Joey. I can't remember Joey's last name. But yeah, they were hot for the fact that they were. It was a TV hit. I mean, because they had that exposure, but they never had a record hit. That's really what it came down to.
Well, and speaking of musicians, did you ever actually play a musical instrument on stage?
Oh yeah, when I did Shindig, I played drums and
That's
played
what
guitar.
I thought. Yeah,
yeah, on two occasions.
Did
I
you
think
play
that I,
many many instruments? Right.
Well, not that I'm a master of none, but I play many. But basically drums and brass instruments and guitar. I was okay at more with drums than I was anything else. But I could squeak by. But please don't let me solo.
To a little bit of an interview that we did with Bobby Sherman. It was 25 years ago. We will return to the interview and let you hear the rest of it after the news. But he was
sweet. He was so sweet.
Just a genuinely nice, nice man.
I love the texts that are coming in. Deanna writes, I hadn't thought about Bobby Sherman in decades, though I did have a huge crush on him in middle school. Seeing the old photos of Bobby Sherman this week made me realize that my husband, who I met several years later, in his youth looked like he could have been Bobby's brother. So she didn't even realize that she'd fallen in love with a man that looked like he could have been a Bobby Sherman brother.
By the way, the Monkees TV show that Bobby talks about, mm-hmm. Do yourself a favor. It's just a hoot. Look up pictures of Bobby Sherman on the Monkees TV show. He had a blonde wig that they made him wear.
It was ridiculous.
He was, just kind of doing a parody of that whole kind of a surfer beach guy thing.
Yeah. Yeah. A listener also reminded me of something that was one of my prized possessions, the Bobby Sherman love beads.
Mm-hmm.
I had the love beads. She had the love beads. If you were in the know, you had them because chokers were very popular then. And so we had to wear our love beads choking us to death, but we looked so cool. And we knew that he was aware that we had purchased that. We were convinced
of
that.
Yeah, sure.
He said, I'm going to send these love beads out to Johnny in Chicago. She's waiting for them. She loves me.
Yeah. We're taking you back to an interview that we did 25 years ago with Bobby Sherman.
So at some point when you started making records, was there a conscious decision that we'll just put you out there with the microphone and like that as opposed to, having you hide behind a set of drums or something?
I'll be honest with you, Johnny. I don't. I think what came about was with Shindig. It was Jack Good's decision that I should be out front, kind of like just kind of like standing up there, kind of wiggling around, kind of thing. There was never a decision to say, okay, let's make him be an instrumentalist or let him be the drummer, or the guitar player or whatever. It's just get out there and just sing. And that was pretty much what I did from, and that way I've never been connected with an instrument, so to speak, from, as far as musically is concerned, from that point forward.
I'm going to make one of the weirdest comparisons you have ever heard.
This ought to be good.
My take on you from the Shindig days was that you just seemed, while I'm sure you must have had your nerves, but I'm sure that when you were on stage, you just seemed so relaxed, almost as relaxed in a different way as Perry Como was. You just seemed like you were enjoying yourself and having a good time, and certainly you were conscious of camera angles and where you were and all that stuff. You just seemed, though, like you were in your environment and you were real comfortable with it.
Well, that's very astute of you, because the fact is I was taught by most of the cameramen, because I made friends with them. They told me, they kind of like, in a sense, as this was Shindig days, they kind of let me know where the cameras were going to be and who was going on next, even before they switched to that camera, so that I could make that transition. I think because we liked each other, and I just got comfortable with it, and I did get at a point where I was at ease. And the only thing I knew how to do was sing, but I had no idea what I was involved in. And it was the technical people the cameraman and all that, I was so immersed into the technical end of it because I wanted to learn how to work the cameras and all that stuff. So I was always talking to them. They would give me these little secrets, and they would give these little cues that I found myself saying, I know what's happening next, and where no one else really cared. And I think that made a difference about might have come off very relaxed and at ease because the fact is I had a clue where it was going.
was there a point in your career, if you can remember one, where it hit you, oh, my God, people really like me? Was it Shindig? Was it Here Come the Brides? Was it the first hit records? Or what was it when you looked around and you said, oops, something's going on here?
I probably think it was when I first talked to you guys. I was in love with you.
That's right. And I was a blithering idiot.
No. I'll be honest with you. I think it's when I first was doing Here Come the Brides that when I first started doing concerts at that particular point when the fans were coming out by the thousands and were just, you know, screaming rather than listening, and they didn't care what I was doing. I mean, I think I've told you this before. I could have lip-synced to the Supremes records. They couldn't care less. They were just so happy to be there, and I realized something was happening there, and I'll never understand it other than the fact that I was very happy about it, and they've stuck with me through thick and thin, and still today. They're at the concerts and they're having a great time. And I've been blessed by fans that I cannot tell you, including you, Johnny. Thank you very much. that seem to understand what it's all about. We like to go back to that time, which was very calm and sane and safe and innocent. And it was the best of times. And we relive it every time we get together.
Do you recall being asked to do something that, in retrospect, you realize was really strange for the sake of image? Someone saying to you, you know, behind the scenes, Bobby, you should wear your hair this way, or Bobby, you should do this, or the girls will like it if you, not tell a bold-faced lie, but when you're being interviewed by Tiger Beat, if you say it this way and not that way.
Well, certainly back then, I would say yes. There was a factor that, yes, the audience that I had at that particular point, Johnny, was very young and impressionable, mm-hmm. and you could have said anything that could have persuaded them to think in a different way that they should have thought. So you had to be very careful, and I was very cognizant. I was very much brought up with a family that was, God-fearing and law and order and all that good stuff. So, yeah, I had to be careful. And I do think that if I had overstepped my power, if that be the case, I probably could have lost not so much the fans, but the parents mm-hmm. at that particular point. That they say, don't listen to this guy. You can't buy his records because he's advocating drugs, sex, or whatever the case
right,
is.
Right.
And it could have been a real difficult problem. So I just kept it very straight and narrow, and did my best to, you know, kind of keep it as simple and as entertaining as I could, and to this day tried to live up to those kind of standards.
I still have Tiger Beat and 16 magazines with you on the cover. I'm serious. And
they're worth a fortune.
I know. I clearly recall the first thing that, and I know you've heard this zillions of times, but the first thing that I would do when I would get an interview with you is I would scan to see for girls' names. You know, because I was going to be in a blue funk if there was a girl's name mentioned there. You know, I'm dating so-and-so, or they're trying to put me together with so-and-so, or I'm thinking about marriage. And nowadays, we have a 17-year-old goddaughter, and she's so into NSYNC, and I see it all over again. Oh, Justin, what's he doing? Oh, you know, yeah. I think he looked twice at Britney Spears yesterday.
Isn't it? And it's so incredible, because today the Internet is such an instant kind of thing that anybody can get any kind of information instantly.
Yeah.
Back then, it was the Tiger Beats. The Internet was the Tiger Beats and the Faves and the, right. and the 16 magazine. That was the only way that the fans could communicate. There really wasn't anything else. And now it's instantaneous. The world has shrunk, unfortunately, I will say this, because the fact that it's so overwhelmingly instantaneous mm-hmm. that you can't keep up with what the input is, and
you really
some
can't,
of it is pretty darn awful.
You can't keep control of it either. So
no,
that's
there is
scary.
No control.
Yeah. It's your name and your life, and yet you're looking and saying, "Well, wait a minute, I didn't do that or say that or."
You know, and I'll be honest with you, being a paramedic as well as a cop, it's a very different world, and I see it because still performing is one thing. I'm out there and seeing my fans and their families. My fans are bringing their kids and their families, and they're singing along with it, and it's a wonderful love-in. It's just terrific, and it couldn't be better. But there's other factors when I go out there doing the job as a medic, as a police officer, and all that stuff. I see another part of it that I sit back and say, I scratch my head and say, I don't get it. Mm-hmm. How can it be so diverse of the fulcrum here, where life is so much this way and life is so much that way? Yeah. And it's scary. But the point is that that's what. You're entertainers. Both of you are entertainers, and you give the best to your audience, the best you can possibly do, and the other stuff you have no control over. That's it.
Can I ask you to expand on that just a little bit? Do
sure.
you think that the record companies today bear any of the responsibility? Do you think at some point the record company should say, hold it, now
yes.
think about what you're doing?
Yeah, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. I think there's a point in reference to where you get to a license of saying, what are we doing, especially because if it's open-ended, you don't know who's hearing it. Who are we reaching? I mean, what are we trying to prove and what's to be accomplished? Even if it's innuendos, it's enough to where you can, especially young people that can be impressionable to a reference of one thing or another and say, hey, look at Columbine and all that stuff. And who knows what was the inspiration of that whole, what was the seed that started the whole thing off? Who knows? You can't be careful enough. And yes, there's a responsibility to everything that you do and everything that I do, everything I say, etc. You've got to get to a point where everybody has to be responsible. We're all parents. Anybody that's older than anybody else is responsible. We become the responsible party.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Speaking of parents, if I could ask you to tell I love this story. You as a medic, delivering a baby, and what happened? You were recognized by the woman who looked up. And
well, actually, she didn't recognize me, Johnny. But
I like that part of it better, though.
Well, what it came down to is that it was a sidewalk delivery, and she was a Spanish-speaking lady, very, very young. She was about 15, as a matter of fact, 15 or 16 years old. It was her first delivery. She didn't have any prenatal care, and I'm delivering. They didn't know what was happening. She was scared to death, and this was my fifth delivery on in respects to it being sidewalk delivery kind of thing.
An emergency.
Yeah, emergency. And next thing I know is that the baby's ready, and out it comes. And, I do all the necessary stuff. I suction and all that kind of stuff. The baby starts crying even before it's born, practically, and does his external rotation. Out it comes. Beautiful little baby girl. Put it to mommy and all that stuff. I'm waiting what's called third stage of delivery. I won't go into any more other than the fact is that she manages to get across to my partner, who's kind of like sitting there or on his knees turning green because it was his first delivery. And she managed to get across to him because she spoke no English, and I speak muy poquito Espanol, and he's, nothing. And she managed to get across to him, what was my name? And he figured it out, and he said, oh, it's Robert. Well, after a couple of minutes, I'm still waiting for third stage to present, and she gets my attention and points to her brand new baby girl and says, Roberta. And I, whoa, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
At that point, I'd say, thank God my partner didn't say Sherman.
yes. Officer Sherman.
To this day, there's a little girl running around San Fernando Valley named Roberta.
Oh, that's a neat story.
Yeah, there's some real perks to this when it works.
Well, I'm sure people do recognize you, though, even in uniform.
Oh, in or out of uniform? Yes.
Do they don't I know you from somewhere?
It does, yeah. A lot of times, certainly in one place or another, they recognize me just because I am someplace, you know, where they probably would recognize me, but mostly in uniform or whatever the case is, they generally put it together, especially when I'm, if I'm working with somebody either in a medical situation or whatever the case is, it seems to take their mind off their stress and pain or whatever. So I've turned into a human placebo. It seems to work where they're feeling pretty good and they're okay. And if in some cases when I'm working as an officer, if I have to hook them up, sometimes they'll turn around and say, "Hey, look who's hooking me up." It's
Bob
Sherman.
Yeah, that's great.
Every time we talk to you, we get I don't know how many emails from people saying, "You got to ask him, is he going to do any new recording?" So, are you going to do any new recording?
Yes, Steve, I am. As a matter of fact, we've got some stuff that's just pretty much hot off the press. We were about to put out something very close now, but the point is that they. They just put out, in fact, I don't have it in front of me, but it's the very best of Bobby Sherman. They just put out now. It didn't include a couple of the new stuff that I wanted to put out. So we are putting together some stuff that is going to be out. It's been done. We just have to recompute that. But there's no doubt about it.
I wish you could see the look on Johnny's face right now.
Yes!
Oh, yeah. Actually, there's a couple of things called. It's one thing, Johnny. It's called solitaire, which is just a knockout. I like it. A lot of people don't say. Well, the only reason they don't like it in respects because they don't associate it with me. But mm-hmm. It's a knockout song.
Oh, good.
It'd be one heck of a video, and we're putting it together in that content. It's just a really good song. And if it wasn't, if I change my name to something else. It would be a good song, and it would probably get the recognition, be it Bobby Sherman. People say, well, it's not Bobby Sherman. But it's a very, very good song.
You almost find yourself in the weird position that Donny Osmond found himself in many years ago when there was a New York radio station that started playing his new record but didn't tell their audience who it was.
Okay. I can understand that.
And the audience was loving it. And
I believe that's absolutely true. Mm-hmm. I think it's at this particular point, the cart in front of the horse is probably better than, than normal.
It's funny. In a weird way, your fame works against you.
I believe that's true.
Mm-hmm. Well,
at this point, that's not to deny the beautiful people that have stayed with me through mm-hmm. thick and thin, and that includes both of you because you've been friends for a very long time, and I do appreciate that. As a matter of fact, I've been on duty today or this evening, as a matter of fact, and I said I've got to call them. So I got off duty. I took what's called an early code 7 so I can make the call to you guys. The bottom line is because the fact is we go back a long way, but you can understand it. I think that there's a lot of people that wouldn't understand how difficult it is to regroup and try to make yourself to refame yourself, so mm-hmm. to speak.
Well, I'm going to ask you, and I probably shouldn't ask you this on the air, but I will anyway.
Go ahead.
When the new album comes out, can we get you back on the air and get a copy of it, and we'll do an album release party for you on the air?
Oh, I'd love it.
Okay.
So would I.
I would love it.
Yeah. That'd be great.
Actually, with a couple of tunes we've already got with it, and we've done one video on one of them. When I get the other one done with that, I'll fly out there and see you guys.
Wonderful.
Well, you tell your record company that we will just have us a bang up record release. It will be a hoot. It really
will. I can't tell you how much in respects to you and your listeners, because I get so much mail every time I do your show. The amount of mail that I get, email and all that stuff that comes back, is extraordinary. So you're hitting a lot of ears. I don't even think you guys even know. It comes from everywhere, and it's amazing. You guys are powerhouses, and I mm-hmm. and I've always respected that. But more importantly, is that you guys stayed with me from the very beginning, even when it was kind of cold, and it's gotten hot, and I really appreciate it. I really do.
Well, Sunday night, Navy Pier, 7 o'clock, the Teen Idol Tour continues. Peter Noon, Mickey Dolenz, and Bobby Sherman, thank you so much for your time.
Will you guys be there, please?
You know,
we're
going to,
in fact, off the air, if we can, I'm going to put you on hold for 1 second, and if we could find out a way to hook up and let you know, and really meet this Sunday, yes. I would love to do that.
Otherwise, you know, I'm going to be one of the millions out there.
And I'm going to tell them that there's one last thing I can say is that, please, and this is, I say this in concert, and I say it now, if you have gathered one thing about tonight's interview, let it be one thing. And it's simply this. Take the time to learn first aid and CPR. It saves lives. It really works. And that's very, very important. Home stuff.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you,
okay.
Bobby. You take care.
Thanks a million.
God bless you.
That's a conversation we had with Bobby Sherman 25 years ago. And to me, the end of that conversation says everything you need to know about Bobby Sherman. He didn't say, come out and see me. He didn't say, buy my records. He said, learn CPR.
And first aid, yes. And he actually, for years, he taught CPR to the LAPD. That was one of his jobs. And he said it gave him great joy knowing that these people would be able to possibly save lives.
He was a pretty special guy. And to answer some questions that, that I can hear some people asking, we have no idea whatever happened to those other new songs that Bobby said he had been working on. We've done some looking around. Solitaire, we can't find it.
No.
I can only guess that somewhere in some archive, maybe there is something that is, sadly, because of his passing is now going to be released.
Yeah. Wow. It was nice to go back, though, and hear his voice.
Yeah. Mm. It was some special moments, and we hope you enjoyed it. Thank you to everybody who is sending some really, really nice texts about the Bobby Sherman interview. 312-981-7200 is how you get to us. He really was a special guy.
Kathy sent me a piece of information I was unaware of. In 2005, TV Guide ranked him number 8 in their list of the greatest teen idols of all time.
Well, sure, I can see that.
Well, that's pretty impressive. Yeah, because you've got your Sinatra and you got Elvis and you got Michael Jackson. And these, you know, big names are the top 5.
Yeah,
and then he made and I find myself saying, "Oh gosh, I wish I could call him and tell him, hey, I just learned that about you."
One of the things that I really enjoyed about our conversations with Bobby. Several times we will have a big name scheduled, and we try to make it as comfortable as possible, but a lot of times it feels like, it's an interview.
Mm-hmm.
With Bobby Sherman, it always felt like a conversation.
Yeah. Yeah, and you knew that from the get-go.
Yeah.
And as you say, there have been times when you think, well, okay, you're doing this because you were told you had to do this. And then it becomes a really fun challenge to kind of break through so that they become a person.
Well, and one of the classic examples of that to me was Jerry Lee Lewis.
Yeah, yes.
And I love Jerry. Saw him umpteen times. But I will never forget the interview that we had with him. There was some new album that had come out, and we were talking with him. Oh, and his club in Memphis had just opened. And we could tell that Johnny and I just look at each other, and we can tell when it's going this way, that Jerry really didn't care for doing, and it didn't matter who it was. But at some point in the interview, when we realized this is how it was going, we remembered the last time we saw Jerry. And it was at a birthday party, and he had his son there, dressed in an identical tuxedo, sitting on his knee playing piano. And all of a sudden, one of us said, "So, Jerry, how's your son doing?" And
boom,
it changed. Bang.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, what? Hmm?
Nobody ever asked me about my boy who was wearing a baby blue tuxedo with a ruffly shirt just like mine, which was hysterical.
But it was really, in my mind, that was the icebreaker, the ultimate icebreaker.
Yeah. But you never had to do that with Bobby Sherman.
No.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. And that music can mean only one thing. We are now going to welcome in the Director of Educational Technology at Keck School of Medicine of USC. That would be your Dr. Patrick Crispin. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, Patrick.
Woohoo! How are you guys doing?
Good. How about you?
I'm tired. This has been a really long day.
Well, okay. What all did
Tell
you do?
Tell us, yes.
Joseph and I, as you know, we've been playing Pokemon Go together.
No.
And today is the first of 2 days of something called Go Fest, which is an annual sort of Pokemon Go event around the world. And he and I went out to Santa Monica, and we're at the Santa Monica Pier for a couple hours today, just catching more Pokemon than you could possibly imagine. And then decided, you know what? Let's go to Disneyland. So after
I am shocked.
Spent pretty much the morning and afternoon in Santa Monica walking around, and then drove down to Anaheim and went to Disneyland.
Yeah. In my next lifetime, I want to come back as your kid. I mean, what a great day if you're 9 years old. It's like the icing on the cake is we'll go to Disneyland.
And tomorrow we're going to go out and do more Pokemon Go with some friends from his when he was in preschool. Uh-huh. One of the families there is also a Pokemon Go family. So we're going to be going tomorrow in Burbank and then going down to Santa Monica and catching more Pokemon.
Wow. About how many people do you think turned out for the event in Santa Monica today? Could you tell?
Hundreds and
really?
Hundreds and hundreds.
Wow.
Yeah, honestly, for those who do play Pokemon Go, or you have family who plays Pokemon Go, Santa Monica is almost like a cheat code for Pokemon Go, because what happens is you have these battles that go on, and you're supposed to get a whole bunch of people to join in a gym. And the problem is the gyms are everywhere, but you know, you don't get enough people. On the Santa Monica Pier, there are hundreds of people. So anytime a battle starts, it's like one person, two person, 20 people. Okay, the battle's starting. And there's no challenge to it. It's hysterical. It's fun.
Wow. I came across a video today, and I'm going to have to send it to you because it stopped me cold. It's actually a metal band. I mean, they're all sweaty, and they're just all, you know, heavy makeup, and they're just rocking out on stage. And there's a guy in the front row, and he gets the attention of the lead singer, who, as I say, is all sweating. He's writhing on stage. And the lead singer sees that the guy in the front row is holding up a Pokemon card. And from the stage, he can tell it's the card he's been looking for. He literally tumbles off. He throws his microphone down, tumbles off the stage. He gets down there. The camera's right under him. He's like floored. All of a sudden, he's 8. You know, he just immediately, he's like melting, this big, tough dude. And the guy hands him the card, and he says, "For me?" And he throws his arms around his neck. And I learned that that's a really big deal if someone gives you a card that you have been searching for, been longing for. Like, it's like a huge thing in the world of gifts.
The card game came first, and this is sort of the digital version of it that we've been playing. So we, mm-hmm. we haven't gotten into the cards, although
Good.
Joseph does have a few. But
yeah.
It's mostly playing on our phones and going around and tapping and trying to catch Pokemon.
Can I hold you on this for a second?
Sure.
But I want to segue just a little bit. Obviously, Joseph, 9 years old, Pokemon phones. It's been a little while since we've talked about, and some people have been saying, could you kind of refresh, what are some of the things you need to do if you're going to tell your 9-year-old, your 8-year-old, whatever, here's a phone, yeah, you can play this stuff. What are some of the safety things you need to do?
Well, one of the things you could do in iOS is you have the ability to set up parental controls, and you can set it up where there's certain times that he can use the phone and not use the phone. We've actually set his phone up so he cannot receive any calls or text messages from anyone that we haven't added to his list of friends mm-hmm. and people that he knows. So he can't get text messages from people. We very carefully monitor what is installed on his phone and kind of let him know, this is our phone, you get to use it, but there is no such thing as privacy when you're in this house because we need to make sure that you're safe, right. And there are some bad people on the internet. So fortunately, he does not use TikTok, so he doesn't have to worry about that. He's not really into Instagram. He does use YouTube, but we're using the paid version of YouTube, and we have some filters set up on that so he can't see things that are inappropriate in there. But we are just very, very mindful using some of the iOS parental controls. They are pretty strict, too. So we've sometimes had the thing where he needed to buy an app, and it's like, wait a minute, I need to remember where we put the password so that we mm-hmm. can give you this. But if you just do a Google search for iOS parental controls, the amount of control you have is really just incredibly robust.
And for people that say, oh, but I don't want my young kids to start using the technology, with all due respect, that horse is out of the barn. Technology is going to be a part of their lives. They might as well, to be competitive with the rest of the world, they might as well start learning about it at a young age. But there are safety precautions you can and should take.
Most schools are giving kids Chromebooks in first grade.
Yeah, mm-hmm. In first grade. Yeah. This is kind of out of left field, but something that Steve and I were talking about the other night when the news broke, and this has to do with porn, and the Texas law that requires users of adult sites to prove that they're 18 years.
Yes.
I mean, when I go to sites that deal with alcohol, it says, are you 21? And I just click yes. I could be 12. They don't know that when I say that I'm 21. How in the world would something like that be monitored?
They want to make sure that you are, if you are from Texas and try to get into a porn website, you must show the website your state of Texas ID, your driver's license, or government-issued ID to prove that you are who you say you are. And I understand why they want to do this, but the concern is there are things that people watch on the internet, and we know that there are bad things on the internet. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure I want the legislature knowing what it is I'm watching, not just pornography, but the reality is if you think that it's only going to be porn, they're going to go after certain things that they don't want you to read or hear about. They don't want you to read, you know, books by gay authors, or they don't want you to read anything from Planned Parenthood, or read anything from the DNC, or read anything from, you know, to read the Quran.
Patrick, if I'm understanding you correct, there are two questions. One, how are you going to make sure that Patrick is Patrick?
Yep.
Two, once Patrick has proved that he really is Patrick, how is the information that Patrick used to prove he was Patrick going to be safeguarded?
So is that why Pornhub was one of the major groups that was opposing this law?
Yes, the Free Speech Coalition, which is Pornhub and some of the other people, kind of were saying there really isn't a standard infrastructure in place to do online age verification. You're asking us to create something new, and I'm excited to see if something does get created, but there's privacy and data breach concerns that are coming out of this, and it could create a precedent where there's 50 different laws in 50 different states based on what the individual state legislatures decide they're going to allow and not allow. It's really a challenge. So
the reality is, and I'm getting a little political here. Yeah. Reality is we are living in a time when your social media that is stored on your phone may be looked at if you're trying to get back into this country, and depending on what is seen, you may or may not be allowed back in the country. This is, again, another step in that direction. There are so many privacy concerns.
It's a slippery slope.
Huge slippery slope.
Yeah. Wow. All right, Patrick, sit tight. We've got so much to cover.
Or hang loose.
To cover with you. Talking Tech with Dr. Patrick Crispin here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman of WGN Radio. We're talking about all things technological with Dr. Patrick Crispin. And Patrick, we were talking about some of the Supreme Court decisions. Can we touch on the Universal Service Fund?
This has been around for a while. Actually came back in 1996 as the Telecommunications Act. And for the past 30 years, you've seen something on your phone bill, landline bill, cell phone bill, that's called the Universal Service Fund. And what this is, it's a fee that is being charged to the telecommunications companies for interstate communication. And the money that is collected by this then goes to pay mostly for school internet programs through something called E-Rate. It's used extensively for broadband access in rural areas, especially in healthcare, and for phone subsidies for low-income households. That phone access in rural areas and broadband access in rural areas is actually kind of an important thing. Prior to the invention of, you know, satellites, and we now have Starlink, which is out there, which can provide satellite internet, there really wasn't any sort of way for people in the middle of, you know, the middle of the state where there isn't a big city around to get broadband, because it just costs too much money to pull the copper to get to the house. Mm-hmm. And you had to have somebody else pick up the bill for that. And that's where through the Universal Service Fund sort of took the broadband to the rural areas. Well, telecom providers are required to collect this data, and then they pass the fee on to you. It's about $10 to $12 a month. There's a group called Consumers Research, and they sued the FCC arguing that the Universal Service Fund is unconstitutional and that Congress gave the FCC too much unchecked power when they allowed them to do it. It turns out the Supreme Court on the 27th, rejected that and said, no, this is actually legit. The FCC has the authority to manage it. So your phone bill isn't going to be dropping anytime soon. And honestly, even if the Universal Service Fund was dropped, it hasn't been, the chances of you not paying that any longer. Do you remember seeing something called the Spanish-American War telephone excise tax? If you don't know about this, this was a bill that was on everybody's phone until 2006 to pay for the Spanish-American War.
Uh-huh.
And honestly, you could call a phone company and ask them what it was what it meant. We'll call you back.
Yeah. But it was one of those things where, we'll keep collecting this money. Yeah. We'll keep collecting this money. So even if it got cut, USF was going to still be on your bill. But regardless of what you're saying about government funding, I know there's a lot of strong feelings on government funding. The reality is bringing broadband to rural America isn't profitable unless somebody's paying for it. And all of us are paying for that with your USF fund. So the Supreme Court looked at it and said, "This is a good thing."
This is one of those things that I don't have a problem paying for that.
No.
I think, you know, in rural America, fine. Yeah, they need to have the same access to all this information that everybody else does.
But at this point,
well, especially in hospitals. I mean, think about this: a hospital in East Oboga, Alabama, is. You need to have really high-speed internet to be able to do some of the procedures and to get the information. And they might not be able to afford it in East Tioga because there's not enough people in the community to pay for it. Well, yeah, let's all make sure that everybody's a little healthy here. And okay, we'll put in a couple extra bucks each, and then East Tioga can have broadband.
But we're talking thousands now. If you do the math, every month, the amount that you're being charged over the 30 years, I'm like, everybody should be wired up by now. At the, because I'm thinking, wait.
I think honestly, we're getting to the point where with cellular being better, and more importantly, with satellite getting better, first Starlink, and then Amazon's going to be coming up with Kuiper, which is their satellite service, we're going to start seeing rural internet moved from landline to satellite, I think sometime in the next couple of years. And I think that it's still going to cost a lot of money, but it may not cost, you know, you may not have to put somebody to dig a trench from Chicago to Galena to be able to get them on the internet.
Do you know the story behind the name Kuiper?
Yeah, there is, and I apologize, it just escaped me. I think, isn't he a Polish physicist?
Oh, I think you're right.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Because I thought, well, that's an odd name for a phone satellite company. And that's Amazon.
Amazon Kuiper.
Okay. Yep. Wow. That's the first I'd heard about that. Well, speaking of phones, and I know we're going to talk a little bit about Apple in a few minutes, but I was looking at the almanac for today, and today was the day that the very first iPhone was introduced.
Really?
I was stunned by the year. Patrick, I know you'll know this as well as you know your middle name. The year.
Douglas?
What year did the first iPhone, on this day, this very day, June 28th of what year was the first iPhone
I want to say
unveiled?
93?
You have a guess, Patrick?
I want to say 2006.
I was stunned.
It was announced in 2006 and came out in 2007, right?
Yes, yes. On this day in 2007. And like Steve, I thought the iPhone had been around since the 90s.
No.
I guess
I was going back to the days of the early iMacs as opposed to iPhone.
Well, I again, 2007, on this day. And you recall how much you paid for that first one, Patrick?
I think $8.99, was it?
That's all? Of course, that was 2007 money. It's probably $2,000 now today. Because I can recall, we were talked about this the other a couple months ago when the bag phone came out, and we paid a couple $1,000s for that. And, you know, we looked and I did the math and figured out what that would be in today's money. It was like $12,000 in today's money.
In fact, we did a blog post about that.
Which is crazy. Okay, we've got a lot more to cover with you, Patrick, and we'll talk about things happening with Apple, along with some other tech stuff that's coming up here. And by the way, if you've got a question you want to sneak in or comment, 312-981-7200, so we have a lot of ground to cover here. A listener wants to know, again, the Amazon phone is the Kuiper?
It's not a phone. It's a satellite system. It's Kuiper, K-U-I-P-E-R. It's Project Kuiper. And I apologize, it's named after a Dutch astronomer, not Polish astronomer, Gerard Kuiper, K-U-I-P-E-R. He's considered to be the father of planetary science.
And do we know what the target date is for that?
I don't know that.
But that explains why none of us could figure out how to find any information on them, because we were spelling it like Kipper, K-I-P-P-E-R. Okay, we will come back with more Tech Talk with Dr. Patrick Crispin on WGN.
Space. In a cyberspace.
What? What? Can I turn my headphones back on?
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. We're talking about all things that inhabit cyberspace with Dr. Patrick Crispin, the Director of Educational Technology, Keck School of Medicine of USC. And there was this little Apple conference going on we should talk about.
Yeah, since we last spoke, Apple had their Worldwide Developers Conference. The reason why we're talking about this, for those of you who have Android devices, you might be going, well, why are you doing this? The iPhone market share in the United States is about 57 to 61%. So if you are an iOS user, an iPhone user, you need to know about what's coming next. macOS only counts for about 15% of the desktop and laptop market. And honestly, knowing what's coming from Apple still is important. So every summer, Apple holds this one-week conference in Cupertino called WWDC, the Worldwide Developers Conference. And it really is for developers, the people who are the coders, the people who write the software that make your Mac and your iPhone and your iPad and all the Apple hardware do really cool things. And Apple gets all the developers to come to Cupertino and then says, okay, here's what the next version of our iOS software is going to be. Here's what the next version of the macOS software is going to be, and gives the developers a couple months to get ready and start writing new code. So it's not where Apple goes and announces new hardware. You're not going to hear anything from Apple saying, oh, we've got a new laptop coming, but this is going to be more of the here's what the software that we're going to be doing in your iPhones and Macs are going to happen. The developer betas are out today. Public betas are going to be coming next month, and then final release is going to be in fall. So you will be able to update if you have a newer Mac or a newer iPhone to get the latest version. So what's going on in all the Apple software that's coming out? And the big thing is you're going to see a naming change in how Apple names their operating systems. Right now, if you have a Mac OS, the latest version is Mac OS Sequoia 15. Mm-hmm. What they're going to be doing is they're going to be changing it to a number system based on the year that it's released.
Oh, wow.
So Mac, the next
version
of Mac.
That sounds a lot like
Windows
the Android.
95.
It sounds like Android. They really are following Android on a lot of things. So Mac OS 26 Tahoe coming this fall. iOS 18.5 is the latest version. Latest coming up the fall is not going to be 19. It's going to be iOS 26 because it's for next year, 26. WatchOS 11.5 is going to be WatchOS 26. So it's just going to be a number system. The big thing is, and it's going to be across all Apple operating systems, is something that they're calling Liquid Glass. And it is kind of, I mean, if you remember Windows Vista, how everything was sort of glassy, this is sort of a semi-transparent. Every window, every dialog box, every icon, every sidebar is going to act like a physical transparent piece of glass. Mm-hmm. And it's really cool looking. You have little aberrations and sort of bending a light around the edge.
Uh-oh.
Oops.
It was so cool that we
lost him.
Yeah.
Okay, well, Patrick will do his best to make contact with us.
To reconnect, yes.
But the liquid glass.
I know, I'm thinking about the control board that Becca's sitting in front of.
Becca, can you explain the control board? Because the control board Becca has is different than the control board we have when we're in Chicago.
This is very sophisticated, too.
What we have in Chicago is a control board that has faders and it's a physical, regular control board.
Right.
What you have is basically it's a piece of glass that has, images on it that react to the way you touch them?
Exactly, yeah. And it's basically the flat screen replica of what you were talking about in terms of like a physical board is going to have those sliders and stuff. In order to bridge the knowledge gap of how to operate it, they've essentially just made that on a flat screen format, a touchscreen format, being able to slide things up and down.
Can you take a picture?
Yeah, go for it. There's an on and off button. There's a slide fader that slides up and down. I'm not going to mess with it too much because this is the board over here for WKRG, which is the station that normally operates out of the college here. And so, yeah, it's very similar to what you guys have over in WGN.
But every time I look at that, I think, can you do that with fingernails?
I mean, I wouldn't know.
You wouldn't know.
I wouldn't know because I don't. But presumably, yes, you just have to adjust the angle.
Okay, theoretically, we have Patrick back. And Patrick, while you were away, Becca was explaining how the control board that she is working with is a liquid glass control board.
It is kind of cool. So everything's going to be a new look and feel for the Apple OS called liquid glass. Sorry, we were disconnected there. The other thing is, last year at Worldwide Developers Conference, Apple talked about Apple Intelligence and how they were going to do AI everywhere. And they didn't really talk about AI much this year because they're kind of doing subtle AI. So built into a lot of their apps, you're going to see live translation. We don't know how many languages. There's going to be visual intelligence, which is going to be a little like Android Circle to search. If you take a picture of an Android and circle it and you can search for it, you'll be able to do that on an iOS now. So, yes, iOS is following Android again. And they're giving a lot of tools to developers to do it. If you are on an iPhone, there is something, again, they're copying Android on this one, the Google Pixel Dialer, which is going to have call screening. So if an unknown caller calls you, you can actually have all unknown calls go into a call queue, and an AI assistant will take the caller's name and ask the person to give the reason why they're contacting you. And then the AI assistant will contact you and say, hey, I've got somebody trying to talk to you. Do you want to talk to them or not? Which is actually kind of cool.
That's
good AI. There's also hold assist. So if you ever get put on hold, it mutes the hold music, but you can keep the call. And then when somebody picks up on the other line, then the hold music is stopped. Your phone will then reconnect you so you don't have to listen. This is great AI.
I agree.
A couple other things that's going to happen if you're using messages, unknown senders kind of gets put into a spam text. So you can actually separate spam and real text. So it's actually kind of cool. And there's the one-time passcodes that you get in text messages, you still get through. But if an unknown sender tries to get you something, it kind of gets put in a box where it's hard. And some polling group messages. Rest of the stuff, I mean, there's translations going on, lyrics translations. There's going to be an auto mix feature where you can have one song and then another song play on your music device, and it will automatically mix between those two songs.
Wow.
As if you were a DJ.
That's going to come in handy at wedding receptions.
Sure.
I could, because now a lot of DJs just go out there with their phones.
But exactly. would this only be between two songs? Like those two songs would go back and forth? Or?
No, you can have like an entire playlist and it will automatically fade and kind of figure out when to come in.
So
that's really cool. The other thing that I really, really, really like, if you're an iOS user, you're going to appreciate this. Apple Maps is great. It's gotten much better. But one of the things that Apple Maps loves to do is take you on some routes that it's like, no, I don't want to go that route. I recognize that's the route that the computer tells me I need to go. I don't want to take that route.
Yep.
You can now have preferred routes where you can sit there and say, yes, I know you want me to go this way. I don't like that way. And it will remember the way that you like, which I think is kind of cool.
See, what I want them to come out with is some way that you can say, okay, I need to get from point A to point B. It happens quite frequently when we're trying to figure out how much time it will take us. Are we going to take Lakeshore Drive or are we going to take the Kennedy? Sometimes, is it Google Maps? Doesn't want to give us the option of looking at one of those.
This is the way you need to go.
And we want to be able to say, okay, no, over here, tell me how long this would take. This is the
tell
route
me all the,
I want to
I've
know.
Got a whole bunch of different routes. Tell me what's the best for route.
Yes.
One other thing on the maps that's kind of cool is Apple Maps will remember all the different places that you have been to. So you can sit there and say, oh, what was that Italian restaurant I went to 3 years ago? And it'll say, oh, yeah, this was the Italian restaurant you went to 3 years ago. And I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah. So. Before we take a break, as an educator, I want to take you back to a fact that you gave at the outset. You said 15% of the U.S. desktops and laptops are Mac iOS, right?
Yes.
15.
Yes.
Does that mean that now today education is not Apple-centric the way it had been?
No, education is exceptionally Apple-centric. It's just that we have a lot of businesses that are using Dells or Lenovos, and those are major, major players in the space. So in education, if you were to go, I'll just pick a medical school in Los Angeles that I know, and you walk into the classroom, they're out of 120 students, you might see 10 PCs, the rest are Macs.
Yeah, that's what I thought. It's just that number I thought was incredibly low, 15%. We're going to take a break, and we'll come right back with Dr. Patrick Crispin here on WGN.
And Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. I love those oldies but goodies. We haven't played that in a while. That's Beck and Computer Rock.
I know.
I love that.
I know you do.
We are talking computer technology with Dr. Patrick Crispin, and we got a bunch of things to get to, hacking and other things. Patrick, if you don't mind, we may ask you if you can hang with us for a little bit after 1 o'clock if we don't get to everything.
Of course.
Stephanie has a question. She says, I'd like to ask Patrick if there will be any changes to the accessibility features. I'm blind. I have some vision, but I do use the accessibility features such as VoiceOver on my iPhone. I love my phone and watch. You get the latest one when it comes out. Anyway, let me know if there are any changes I can look forward to.
Yeah, actually, there is a video that got released, and just do a search for 2025 updates for accessibility from Apple, and they're going to have a much better magnifier. There's going to be Braille access. There is a system-wide reader mode called Accessibility Reader. So if you have dyslexia or you have low vision, so there's going to be adjustable font, spacing, colors, text-to-speech. Mm. It's going to be on across the entire spectrum, iPhone, iPad, Mac, Vision Pro, integrated in the magnifier. There's going to be live captions on the Apple Watch. So lots and lots and lots of new features. Even in Apple TV, there's going to be assisted access in Apple TV.
That's incredible. Live captions on your watch?
Yes.
I'm trying to imagine how. I mean, would your watch just talk to you when something. Do we have any idea how that would.
So what you do is you take your Apple Watch and you're going to use Live Listen and AirPods or some hearing aids. Oh. And what that will do is you'll get to see real-time captions on your wrist for calls and audio that's played on your phone.
Okay, but if you have no vision, you're going to hear
everything
that's coming up on your watch. Wow.
That's kind of cool.
That is very cool. I just had visions of, you know, mine would just be chattering. I'd be on the radio and it'd be talking. And,
I can't help with that.
Okay.
I don't even know where that came from.
I don't know where that came from either.
I know.
Julian, where did that come from?
Thanks, Julian.
I have no idea either.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so that was the 1 week of the WWDC, right?
That's right. That's correct.
Then you also have a bit of a postscript to the AI slop in the Sun-Times and some of the other papers.
Well, this is interesting,
Those poor people. Back in back in May, Chicago Sometimes, and actually I think of the Philadelphia Inquirer, had this 50-page newspaper insert titled Heat Index, Your Guide to the Best of Summer. And if you're reading through it, it was kind of full of really weird written text and odd phrasing and some really strange factual errors.
And book titles that didn't exist.
Yeah, if you looked for the book titles and the book titles, it turns out they were made up by artificial intelligence. And this is something that we call AI slop. It's content that looks real, looks like journalism, but it doesn't have any rigor. The supposed author, and I use that quote, that term loosely here, they got fired by King Features, which is a division of Hearst. Sometimes actually said, we're going to give you your money back on the Sunday paper. Sorry about that. And if you have the e-paper version of it, you got an apology. And Chicago Public Media said, you know what, we're going to kind of look at our relationship with Hearst and see if this is, we need to make sure this doesn't happen again. The thing is, this really is a cautionary tale because it is very easy using ChatGPT or Anthropic Claude or Google Gemini or, you know, Meta Llama to create content. And you really, 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 really need to be aware that these tools don't know anything. They don't understand truth. They don't understand ethics. They don't understand accuracy. They're creating good text that's based on patterns. Mike Solomon, actually, at Hearst, ironically, calls it spicy autocomplete. I love that term.
Autocomplete. That was one of my favorite groups.
I saw them at Coachella. They're absolutely fantastic. But the reality is the text that's being generated is there to make you happy. It doesn't necessarily have to be right. And that's why you get these plausible lies or what we call hallucinations. It's just confident, fluent, and sometimes subtly wrong in very, very dangerous ways. This is just one of those things that, closing the loop and making sure that there's human in the error. A human editor is important.
Yes, I agree. But there's another part of this story that makes me sad. I read an interview with the man who put together the 50 pages for the Sun Times. And he's getting chump change. I mean, he was getting paid nothing to put together this overwhelming task. And he honestly approached this innocently. He did not know that it, at least that's what he says, that it would be fake information, that he thought it was going to help him.
He was using it to help his workload, that he wasn't getting paid nearly as much for as he should be.
I feel bad. I really feel bad for him that he lost his job. He said, if they paid me by the word, it'd be a different story. If they paid me by the inch or the page, it'd be a different story. But they're paying me nothing to do this. And it was an overwhelming task. And I know for the rest of us, it's a word to the wise. If you're going to use AI, and I know you as an instructor, Patrick, in the education field, you talk about this all the time. We're going to catch you if you use this to write your papers. Simple as that, right?
Well, it's one of those things where it's going to make very subtle mistakes, but if you know the subject, you know those mistakes. Those mistakes become absolutely glaring. So my recommendation is if you're going to use AI in fields that you know so that you can check it. But if you try to have AI teach you something in a field you don't know, you get the illusion of learning, but you're not actually learning the correct information because the AI is going to make stuff up and you really need to have human judgment and you need to be the human in a loop.
So that's why it's called hallucinations then, because you're not dealing with reality.
Nope.
Wow. I'm really feeling bad for this dude. I don't know why. I'm like, oh, come on. And I think we're going to save that 50-page insert because
we've still got
it's a collectible now.
Yep.
Yeah, it is.
They've apologized and given us our money back for it. Gosh.
And the good news was that the Sun-Times really did step up and say, oops,
yeah,
Yeah, I think wasn't it within 24 hours it was brought to their attention that, wait, here are a number of books that don't even exist. What are you doing? Is this a parody? What's going on here?
And that's just one of the realities of living in the world we're living in right now. There's new technology and stuff is going to happen. Yeah. And the proof of the pudding is going to be how you react to that stuff when it goes south.
I think we've all kind of learned when you're on social media and you see a picture and you say, oh, that's AI. What do? We look at the hands. Right, Patrick? We always look at... I remember when you said, look at the hands. If they're more than five fingers...
They're getting better, though.
They are.
Well, one of the big clues, and I can't believe how many times, and I pointed this out to Johnny just within the past week, there will be an article on Facebook. I can tell it's AI because it will be talking about some guy and say, and she did blah, 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 or the reverse. AI doesn't understand genders. And it just jumps all over the map.
So we got a male bodybuilder, and they say, she has been working hard to get this body. Yes. All right, Patrick, we won't keep you very long. I know you're exhausted, but we want to talk about this week's hacks. So we'll take a break. We'll come right back, and we will wrap with hacks that you should be aware of.
We're going to wrap with hacks.
And there are some every week, believe it or not.
I've been hacked again. I've been compromised. My laptop's caught a virus. Now I've got a cold. I got many friends in Nigeria. I got a girl in Belarus. You say, send me your credit card numbers and everything will be cool. I've been hacked again.
Steve King and Johnny Putnam at WGN Radio. Been hacked again.
Well, Dr. Patrick Crispin is sticking around to share with us the news on this week in hacks. And there are actually two. One is legit and one, not so much.
Yeah, not so much. It got misreported. Coinbase, which is the largest cryptocurrency exchange in the United States, actually did get breached. It only affected about 70,000 customers. So they call this a small number, but 70,000 seems kind of big to me. Mm-hmm. And it turns out that people who worked for Coinbase in customer service, the employees were targeted in a social engineering attack. And one employee was actually bribed by the bad guys to let the bad guys into Coinbase's system to get information about their customers.
Oh, wow.
Now,
can I stop you? Is Coinbase the company that has the machines that you can find in gas stations and convenience stores? And
No. That's Coinstar.
Okay.
Coinbase is actually a cryptocurrency exchange online, and you go in there, and they have wallets for you to store your crypto, and you can actually buy and sell crypto there. It turns out that after this employee got bribed, they released some information to the bad guys, including names, addresses, phone numbers, email addresses, last four digits, social security number, bank account numbers, government ID images, account data, including balance snapshots and transaction history. Coinbase says that if you were impacted by this, they have already notified you. So if this is the first time you've heard about this, you weren't impacted. It turns out that the bad guys, after getting into the system, bribing somebody in Coinbase to let them in, contacted Coinbase and said, you know, we're in your system. Pay us $20 million. And Coinbase said, go to hell.
We're not gonna,
no, absolutely not. And Coinbase is actually saying that, you know, yeah, we're right. We could have paid you $20 million. We'd much rather pay 180 to $400 million just to fix this because we're not going to pay the bad guys.
Good for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Takeaways here that, you know, the reality is if you have a Coinbase account, you got to change your password, make sure the two-factor authentication's turned on. And because the 70,000 user information databases were sort of exposed, watch out for phishing emails and fake security alerts. That's just something that could show up. So Coinbase was hacked. It's a bad one because of somebody got bribed and they let the bad guys in. I want to talk about Steam. If you don't know about Steam, Steam is actually a big platform for buying and playing mostly PC games. It's kind of like iTunes or the Google Play Store, but for video games. There was an anonymous post on the internet earlier this month that said Steam had been hacked and over 89 million passwords were compromised. And all the mainstream media picked this up and said, see, this is terrible, and reported it. And nobody actually looked into it because it wasn't hacked and it didn't happen. It turns out that in mid-May, Valve, the company that makes Steam, confirmed that a list of old two-factor authentication codes and phone numbers for 89 million people had been leaked. And what happens is when you're using text-based SMS, the codes that are coming through text messages, those usually don't come from the company that sends it. The company hires another third-party company and says, hey, can you send these messages for us? And that third party got hacked. An attacker just basically broke into one of the third-party SMS messaging systems, and they stole a bunch of expired two-factor authentication code. Remember, the codes only work for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
So these were old codes that don't work. So there's no worries about there. No passwords were exposed. The media got crazy on this, but it turns out, But the attackers do have the phone numbers for Steam users if you signed up for text-based two-factor authentication. So if you got a Steam account and you do get text-based two-factor authentication from Steam, you need to be on the lookout for fake, there's a problem with your Steam account, scam text messages. If you use Steam, if you have a family member of Steam, you don't have to change your password unless you want to. Double check your Steam account security settings. And my recommendation is turn off text-based, SMS-based two-factor authentication and use something built into the Steam app called Steam Guard Mobile. It's a built-in authenticator and it's so much better and so much more secure. But any Steam message security that you get, Steam security messages you get from here on out, if you didn't specifically request it, you've got to think it's compromised and suspicious, but it's you don't have to worry much about it. Just now's a good time to remember, use strong passwords, two-factor authentication, and don't use text-based two-factor authentication. And don't just do it in Steam, do it everywhere.
So there was a story, but it wasn't the story that was reported.
No.
Wow. That's really depressing, too, because there was legitimately a story to be told and to enlighten people who might be affected by this.
You have to kind of dig in.
Yeah.
You have to dig into it to get into it, and it's like,
Well. Well, I just want to say that I've got no use whatsoever for what's the company called? The Coinbase company. Yeah, I at this point in my life, I've got no use for them. But boy, do I have respect for them.
Yeah.
They're willing to pay millions of dollars as opposed to giving in to the crooks.
I like the mentality of, let me spend a little more, or a significant amount more, to fix the problem rather than
take care of that.
To get you out of here now, but you'll come back in next week.
Yeah.
No.
By the way, earlier we were talking about Project Kuiper, which is going to be Amazon's satellite system, and somebody was asking, when is it going to be available? They've started building it. It's going to be 3,236 satellites. So far, they've launched 27. So they only have 3,209 to go.
Wow.
Okay.
I can't wait.
It's coming.
Yes.
Oh.
Well.
Thank you. Oh, and we should mention, for anybody that was trying to take copious notes and glazing over, we have Patrick's show notes. They will be posted on our blog within about the next 2 days, because we're going to be heading back to Chicago, so it may take a little longer, but they will be up on our blog. And we will be talking with Patrick next in 3 weeks, because next week is our annual NASCAR vacation weekend. So there will be a replay. Then the following week will be Tom Appel. And then the week after that, 3 weeks from now, will be Patrick Crisman back again.
And whenever I think of NASCAR, I think of that fun, rainy 4th of July weekend when Patrick and Joseph were with us, and we just watched cars sliding.
The Chicago race.
They were just sliding into barricades.
And we didn't think we were going to like it, but we loved it.
We were hooting and hollering. It was hysterical. And if it doesn't rain, I don't know if it's that exciting, but boy, it was good that first year.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. Thank you so much for your time tonight, Patrick. Get some rest, and we'll talk to you soon. Appreciate it.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We'll take a break. More coming up at WGN. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Boy, you talk about an iconic theme song.
Yes.
From Mission Impossible, Lalo Schifrin, who just passed away, who was responsible for so many significant theme songs.
Mission Impossible from 1966, Mannix in 67, Cool Hand Luke in 67, Bullet in 68, THX 1138 in 71, Enter the Dragon in 73, The Four Musketeers in 74, Voyage of the Damned in 76, The Eagle Has Landed that same year, Amityville Horror in 79, The Rush Hour Trilogy. Wow. And the interesting thing is, I would say 90% of these are all recognizable. You go, that's the theme for Mannix.
Yep.
It's pretty amazing career. He also did the Dirty Harry film series.
Where was it? It was on the ABC World News Tonight. They did a really nice feature on him, and they showed a video of him. Where was he playing the Mission Impossible theme? On some Grammy show or something like that.
Sitting at the piano.
Yeah.
Yes. 5-time Grammy Award winner, nominated for 6 Academy Awards and 4 Emmy Awards. I'm surprised he hasn't won Academy Awards with the music that he did. In 2019, he received an honorary Academy Award from the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences in recognition of his successful career. Yeah, you think that was a successful career? It kind of defines a successful career. Yeah. His name, Lalo, was his nickname, wasn't it? Isn't that what we learn? L-A-L-O was his nickname. Yes. In fact, his birth name was Boris. Boris Claudio Schifrin.
So how did
Lalo was the normal mix. Argentine diminutive for his second name of Claudio. Oh. When he came to the United States, he changed his name to Lalo, legally to simplify his contracts. And there would not be a whole bunch of other guys with that name either, I would imagine. His father, Louis, led the second violin section of the Buenos Aires Philharmonic for 3 decades. His father was Jewish and his mother was Catholic, exposing him early to both kinds of worship. At the age of 6, he began a course of study on piano. In fact, the father of pianist and conductor Daniel Barenboim was his instructor.
Hmm.
Got an interesting background. And you knew right away when a television plug coming up will be talking about a composer that has passed. And you said, that's going to be Schifrin.
That was fascinating, too. Watching, and we just happened to be watching the ABC World News. And they kept teasing it and teasing it and teasing it and never saying his name.
Yes.
It's like, okay, the reveal will be his name.
Yes.
It's Lalo Schifrin.
And the man died. Come on. He did write a book. I find this really interesting. Mission Impossible, My Life in Music. was his autobiography. He wrote it in 2008.
I'd be curious to read
and
that.
And in summarizing, in music, the choices are infinite. The possibilities of sound combinations with the acoustic instruments of a symphony orchestra, a jazz band, or a chamber ensemble have not yet been exhausted. What has been done in the field of electronic music so far has not even scratched the surface of a vast continent to be explored. That's how he opened his book, My Life in Music, Mission Impossible, My Life in Music, yeah, Lalo Schifrin.
That.
How old was he, like 92 when he passed?
I think so. I think he was in his 90s.
Yes. He 93? Was born 93. Yeah. Good choice. Out of all the things that he did, Julian, that was a dealer's choice. Julian keeps us on our toes.
But we still haven't seen the most recent Mission Impossible, and we're going back and forth because...
Julian, have you seen the new one?
I have indeed.
And?
I liked it, but my favorite is probably still... The first three were like the perfect trilogy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Agreed.
So if we don't see this one, we're okay.
I don't know if you've read my brother Lee's blog about this, but his opinion was pretty much the same as yours, Julian. Lots of interesting fight scenes. And
well, he gave the example of Cruise diving out of a plane without a parachute. Oh, then he's got a parachute, and he's going down, down, down. Yeah. Oh, no parachute. Oh, now the parachute's on fire. And then he comes down with a parachute billowing around him. He said, it's kind of a problem.
So Lee's review was kind of action aplenty, plot not so much.
Yes.
A little convoluted.
Convoluted, that's a good word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me, I follow along. I follow the details, but for the average viewer, they're gonna struggle.
Yeah. And he saw it in IMAX. Did you see it in 3D, IMAX, anything?
I saw it normally. I don't go for, unless it's something I'm real, like Dune. I saw Dune in IMAX.
Was that good in IMAX?
Oh, it was incredible.
And so my problem is sometimes if I go into IMAX, I get nauseous.
Okay.
It does not make for a good experience.
True story. First time Johnny and I ever saw a real IMAX movie was at the
Museum of Science and Industry.
And it was this huge, I mean, they had an IMAX screen that stretched across half the ceiling.
Were we taking listeners there?
We did.
Yes.
You walk into the theater, you're in seats that are literally laying back because you are looking up at this huge curved orb. At the end of the movie, getting up, we almost had the feeling we were going to fall, but we would have had to fall up because we were in this almost horizontal position. But the movies made you feel, particularly, remember the scene going over the Grand Canyon?
Yes.
And we thought, we're going to fall, but we would have to fall up.
Up, yes. But didn't they have Dramamine there for people?
They did.
Yeah. It was very, very effective. And I remember thinking, I'm not crazy about this. It makes me sick.
And what year was this?
Oh, well, this was the first major IMAX screen in Chicago. So when was this?
Because subsequently,
back when it was still just called the Museum of Science and Industry, and it was a special, this would have been late 80s, early 90s?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Because we were taking a whole bunch of listeners at 10 o'clock one morning.
In fact, that was the big deal.
For the unveiling.
Here's this IMAX screen.
Yes.
And you get to see what IMAX is all about.
Yeah.
When was that?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because after that,
Julian, Becca, when was that? IMAX screen, Museum of Science and Industry, Chicago, what year?
I was kind of gun-shy about IMAX after that, but we went to Navy Pier to see one of the Batman movies in IMAX.
That was cool.
That was.
That was very
good. It was no falling out of your seat.
It was Batman Returns.
Batman Returns, yeah. Yeah. No falling forward, no car
sick. Okay, who's going to get there first, Becca or Julian?
I want to say it was like 91 or 92.
That sounds about right.
And it was a very big deal because remember we
Navy Pier?
No.
This was at the Museum of Science and Industry.
Okay. I recall that we actually had guests on the show to explain to us what IMAX meant. because everybody's like, oh, I'm not sure I want to see something on the ceiling. And it was, and then what did we experience at Disney? At Disney World.
Oh, yeah. What the heck was it?
When,
what
was the movie? It was the Muppets movie.
Well, that was the Muppet 3D.
Oh, that was 3D. Okay. Because that was in...
And after we saw the movie, we went to the Muppet Theater.
Yes.
Which was the Muppet 3D Theater, which I think they just closed down.
And I proudly said at the end of the movie, ha-ha, I didn't fall for that ridiculous ruse. People were grabbing at the bubbles in the air.
Because there were real bubbles.
And Steve said they were real. And I said, yeah. What? What? And I thought I was being so... disciplined because I wasn't grabbing anyway.
1986.
86. Wow.
86. Okay. Ooh, yikes. Julian wins.
Okay. Stay with us. We're in the final stretch of the show here on WGN.
One, two. If your heart is restless from waiting so long, if you're tired and a distant dream is calling you, and there's just one thing you can do. Follow that dream wherever it may lead. Come on, follow that dream to find.
King and Johnny Putnam at WGN Radio. The waning moments of our final show from the Gulf of Florida for now. Mm-hmm. We'll be back in October with some more shows from WKGC. I like that Springsteen cut.
Yes. So what prompted that, Julian?
I don't know if you guys saw this, and I just sent it on the text line. So as of yesterday, Springsteen just released a, it's called Tracks 2.
Yes, the Lost Albums.
I heard he was going to do this, yes.
Yeah.
And according to this Entertainment Weekly, 74 of those 83 songs have never been heard before.
Unreal.
Wow. I just got your text, and I've clicked on this. How cool. I think that has to be a must purchase. Yeah.
One of my favorite videos of this past week was him on stage singing Dancing in the Dark.
Yeah.
And he called his daughter up to dance with him.
Yeah.
And it was so sweet. I mean, I got really emotional because they're, you know, she's smiling from ear to ear. She's adorable. And, oh, it was, yeah, he does that to me.
And I forget how old he is, but he's still doing three and a half hour concerts. Yeah. The energy level is just incredible.
I still don't understand how he can look more like Tony Bennett every day. Every day I look at him and I go, oh, you're looking more like Tony today. And don't call me crazy. Look at him, seriously, and then look.
Well, that's a separate question.
Steve?
Just saying.
I'm the one, the keeper of the chicken cobbler. You're going to be really hungry when you get home.
But I'm the one with the keys to the car.
Point. But Becca's here. I could ply her with more peanut butter Rice Krispie treats since she'll take me home. So
that would work, actually, yeah.
Okay, so during the, looks like the, is this out now, the Inside Tracks 2?
Yeah, it looks
due
like
out on
everywhere.
Oh, on the 27th.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, it comes as 9 LPs or 7 CDs in an 83 song box set spanning different eras of Springsteen's career. Did you see a price anywhere, Julian?
No, I'm looking right now, but it looks like the total runtime 4 hours 45 minutes.
Well, that's about the time of a Springsteen concert.
Hey, we do a 5-hour show.
Yeah, like, so maybe we'll
put in the commercials and we're done.
Oh, are you guys ready for this?
Yeah.
$300.
Oh.
Actually, that's not horrible for that much stuff.
Yeah, it is. I'm sorry, it is. Well, coming up next weekend, it's not only NASCAR, but it's the 4th of July weekend. I love it when the 4th falls on a Friday or a Monday.
Yeah.
Isn't that the best? Yeah. And in our house, we have a tradition of having, it's become a tradition. I think this will be year number 4.
Yeah.
We have a big shindig.
We have it. It's almost a kind of a United Nations shindig with our neighbors. Because we live on a block, and I've mentioned this before. We live on a United Nations block. There are people from, pick a country, and chances are they're living on our block. And I love that.
It's wonderful. We're the only white bread folks on our street.
Yeah. You know?
So we have this big shindig on the 4th of July. And I'm sorry we won't be here to share with you the tales of getting to work during NASCAR, but we won't be.
It's anytime there's NASCAR, we ain't here.
Right.
It's going to be a replay, hopefully a best of, or maybe the worst of.
Who knows? But it reminds me of all of those years, and I mean literally like 20-plus years, we would come in on the 3rd of July, the night that the city would do the big fireworks display.
Yep.
And we would broadcast from the Showcase Studio in the Tribune Tower because we would literally have thousands of people outside the Showcase Studio.
Now, our show went on at 11 o'clock. We would be getting into downtown around 7 o'clock, and there were times when we barely made it to the station in time because of all the traffic jams and the police blockades.
And the blockades, I remember there were times I got out of the car and I showed my ID to the police officer and I said, we really do need to get through there to get to work. And that particular night, we were held up so long that, remember, the Ides of March were in studio with us. And they got through because something about a man with purple hair, they believed that he needed to get through. But they didn't believe the stupid blonde that was showing them an ID card that I needed to get through.
By the way, speaking of that man with purple hair, Jim Peterick, he will be joining us along with the Ides of March on the 26th of July. They're going to be in studio with us.
Yes, they are, because they got a bunch of things coming up. And we're just going to catch up with them because we haven't had them in studio forever. But Bob was telling me at the top of the show, our big plug Bob, our engineer, that there's going to be like a 15-minute fireworks display next Saturday in Chicago. So I don't know, is the city going to be doing a 3rd of July like they have in previous years, or are they saving it all for Saturday?
The 5th is the official.
Fifth
is the official.
Okay. Well, that's smart, because it used to be a big deal for surrounding communities. They're like, okay, if we do our fireworks, we're competing with the city, so we're going to do ours on the day that they're not doing it. So this year, just a couple of places you can catch fireworks on July 3rd. Out in Aurora, they're going to do theirs. Berwyn's going to do theirs on the 3rd. Bridgeview, Burr Ridge, Deerfield, Glencoe, Lamont, Lyle, Lockport, Mokena, Oak Brook, Palos Heights, Palatine, Park Ridge, Romeoville, Wheaton, and Wilmette will all do their fireworks.
Isn't Evanston doing a...
That'll be on the 4th.
Okay.
So those are the communities that are going to do a big fireworks display on the 3rd. And then on the 4th, you've got Bartlett and Antioch and Beecher and Bensonville and Blue Island and Bolingbrook and Buffalo Grove, Carroll Stream, the city of Chicago. There will be a 4th of July parade in Hyde Park with marching bands, floats, kids, and community groups. There will be a free festival, but it won't be anything like the big 5th of July 15-minute display.
Right.
DeKalb will be on the 4th. It'll be 30 minutes after sunset. Downers Grove and Woodridge will be together. Elgin, Elk Grove Village, Evanston, Frankfort, Glenview, Glen Ellen, Itasca, Lake Forest, Lake Zurich, Libertyville, Lincolnshire, Lombard, Morton Grove, Mount Prospect, Mundelein, Naperville, New Lenox, Northbrook, North Riverside, Oaklawn, Orland Park, Oswego, and Rockford. All are going to be on the 4th. And if I missed your community, you know it's happening. Enjoy.
By the way, I like the trend. Some communities are moving away from fireworks and going to drone.
drone shows.
Which are wonderful.
Yes, so impressive.
And a whole lot better for the environment, too.
Yeah, and they can do incredible things with the drone shows. Yeah. Yes.
What's that I hear? Even in this studio, the light is starting to flick. It's the sound of the Zamboni. And big plug Bob on his Zamboni.
I suspect that 99% of the people around here would not know what a Zamboni is. They don't have much use. Right, Becca?
Yeah, just about.
Okay. Yeah, that's when you want to drive that big vehicle out on the ice to smooth the ice. Yeah.
But that's the signal that it is time for our last call. If you would like to be our last caller and win some goodies from this here radio place, 312-981-7200. That number again is 312-981-7200. And you can win some goodies from this here radio place as long as you have not won anything within the past 2 months or 6 weeks, whichever comes first.
No, 60 days.
That's what I said.
No, you said 6 weeks. That's why.
Well, that's what I meant to say.
That's why we have separate checking accounts.
Yes.
I get to say it this time because you always say it. And mine looks so much better than yours.
But mine's accurate.
No, it's not. No.
Yeah, it is. Mine's accurate. Yours shows you have more money. Mine shows how much money I actually have.
I like having more money. Just because I round off to the next biggest number. Mm-hmm. So I actually do have more money.
No.
I'll never make you
more. Could be worse, Steve. You could laugh like this.
Julianne.
312-981-7200. Last caller coming
that
up.
That is not me.
It's that time again.
Oh, yeah.
We gotta say goodnight.
Not a moment too soon.
You know it's getting late. Tomorrow is another day, my friend. All right, people. It's time to go home.
Yep.
Losing time. We're in losing time. Head on out.
So head on out.
You don't have to go home.
Yeah, you really kind of do.
But you can't stay.
Nope.
We're going to go home to our other home, back to Chicago.
Yeah.
I'm going to miss stories like the man that was just this evening booked into the jail, forgive me, for breaking in to Zoo World and harassing the goats.
Yeah.
Yeah, that happened.
Yeah, Becca knows because we saw that on the TV station that that Becca works for.
Yes.
And he really broke in just
to harass the goat.
Just to hang out. And harass the goat. Aggressively hang out with a bunch of goats.
They have the video of him taunting them.
Yeah.
And it's just so rude.
What kind of a day are you having when you decide, I need to make myself feel better by breaking in and harassing a goat?
I'm sorry, it takes
probably
my breath
not
away.
A good one.
But that's how Florida gets a reputation for Florida man.
Yep.
I mean, that's great Florida man material.
Yeah.
You break in, now you got a criminal record for breaking into Zoo World to harass the goats.
Yes. Well, Becca, since you have been holding our hands in this studio, you get to pick the number for the last caller. The number is 1 through 5.
1 through 5. Let's go right down the middle and say 3.
All right.
3, that would be Jan. Hi, Jan.
All right, I got through.
Hey, Jan, you sound like you're wide awake.
Is this Jan in the laboratory?
You got it, Chuck. That's where I'm at.
Great. Jan checks in on Saturday nights and tells us that she's in the laboratory. And that's legit, right, Jan?
That's right. And I even sent you a picture of our family reunion from Cleveland last weekend.
Oh, you did. That's right. Wow. Well, are you working tonight? Are you back?
Yes, I am working tonight.
You're back in the lab?
Yes, I'm in the laboratory.
Yes, and if you told us what exactly you do, would you have to come and kill us, or could you tell us?
No, I'm doing diagnostic testing on all kinds of people trying to save their lives, you see. But anyway, our motto was, we're trying to save lives at a fantastic speed.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
That words to
works
live by.
Me.
Yeah.
And how many years have you been doing this?
Too long, honey. Too long.
And see, when she puts honey into it, you know she's serious.
Yeah, it's too long.
I finished my bachelor's and part of my master's in the 75 area.
Uh-huh.
So I've been around a while.
So,
wait a minute. I just thought, since they have a bachelor's degree, do they have, what would it be, a spinster's degree? I'm just asking. Is there a female equivalent of
the
bachelor's degree?
Like the old maid degree?
No, I'm not too sure of that.
Me neither. Now, do you work night shift, like all night long, or?
I come in at 11 and leave at 7:30, yes.
Oh, okay. So your Sunday then is basically resting to get ready to come back and do it all over again.
And I'm off on Sunday and Mondays, and it's just wonderful time.
Don't you love that? Yes, we used to love working Sunday through Friday morning because we were everybody's driving into work and we were going home for the weekend. Yes.
What are you looking forward to on Sunday? How are you going to chill out for a while?
Well, I go to Mass at 8 o'clock, and one of our, Father Frank is leaving. He's a sweet little guy. He's only been there a couple of years, but this is his last Sunday with us. And so we're going to have like a party, a bon voyage for Father Frank.
I have to ask you, and I mean absolutely no disrespect as I ask this question. You've been working all night long. You get off at 7:30, and you're going to an 8:30 Mass. How the heck do you stay awake?
Well, now, you do a lot of meditation sometimes.
Is that what we're calling it? When your eyes are closed, you're meditating. Okay.
Usually, it depends on the homily, but, I mean, there's highs and lows in each homily, you see.
Yes.
Can I share with you the best homily, the best presentation I ever heard from a priest? This was years ago, back at St. Felicitas on the South Side. It was one of those hot as it is right now days, and the church was full, and it was a new church, and they didn't have air conditioning.
Oh my.
And the priest comes up on the pulpit, and he looks around, and he pauses, and he says, "As hot as it is right now, imagine how hot hell is." And that was it. Then he turned around, and that was his whole.
You got a rim shot for that one. Wow.
Amen to that one, huh?
Yes, I am tickled that you got in because I look forward to getting your text on Saturday night. So I'm glad you snuck in here tonight. And I'm also happy that you're going to get your very own official WGN t-shirt. And I will ask you, because I think you've been listening for a while, did you ever get your hands on our Life After Dark CD?
I sure did. I got it off Amazon. Yes, I did.
You did. Oh, how sweet.
It's wonderful. Yes.
Oh, well, good. I'm glad you did. Well, hang on for a second. We'll put you back in touch with Julian, get back to work, and, have a great couple days off, Sunday, Monday. Thank you, Jan.
Oh, bye-bye. And that's pretty much a wrap for this stint on the Panhandle. We will be back here in October. Next week is going to be a replay because NASCAR weekend replay.
Don't blame us. Blame the fact that the roads are closed and it's difficult to get into work. And Bob says, ha ha, I'll be here. That's another story.
And our thanks to Bob and Ron and
Krista was with us for a couple
of Rob and Krista and Julian and Tom Hoots and
Becca.
And Becca. And to you for hanging out with us. And we hope you have a really wonderful 4th of July weekend.
Now, and you got me thinking hot dogs again, because I'm thinking, yeah. Oh, that's what we'll do on the 4th of July.
And as you are celebrating this 4th of July weekend, take a second or three and think about the meaning of the 4th of July and why we remember that date and what was going on at that time and how the people were going for their independence against a man who wanted to be king. Just think about it. Thank you for hanging out with us. Stay safe. We'll talk to you live in 2 weeks. News is next at WGN.